And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, November 5th, 2009. It is the precariously balanced episode. Don't forget to check us out over at Colony of Gamers, where our forums are, and also you can email us at In-Game Chat, everyone at InGameChat.net, Twitter at In-Game Chat, and also you can call us and leave us voicemails. We love those too. 2017-IN-GAME is our Google voice number. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm RJ.
And Dennis not with us tonight. We want to give a special little note to Dennis. And
he's a little under the weather at the moment.
Very under the weather, and but he's you know, doing okay by all reports. If you follow him on Facebook or on Twitter or anything, you kind of know what happened there. But he's doing okay by his own words, and hopefully we'll have him back in next week. So what did we talk about tonight? We talked about lots of stuff.
Let's see. Talked about what we played, like we always do.
Right.
And we had some Dragon Age impressions on the PC from the
Yeah, some very, very positive ones, actually.
You know,
yeah,
a few kind of hours worth of Dragon Age impressions, but it's where we are right now, so.
And then, you know, we were learned a little bit about Borderlands PC issues by our listeners.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
And, you know,
RJ took the full turn in Demon's Souls.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what was your final runtime on that? How long did it take you? Do they have stats in there?
Yeah, there were stats in there. At the end of the game, you can go to the top of the Nexus. You can see a list of people who've completed it. I found mine and gave me the stats of 57 hours of actual playtime to actually get through.
It's a very sincere commitment. You know, mm-hmm. like, it's good stuff. It's a good number of hours.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had to talk about Infinity Ward again because they had to go
and
do some things
again.
So,
fuck ever.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, journalism and games
the
and the
thereof.
Lack thereof.
Right.
Tweets, voicemails, and
all the various whatnot from our loyal listeners. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Did you see this earlier?
What's that? Oh, screens
the,
of Halo Reach.
The theoretical leaks of Reach at all?
No, I didn't.
my favorite part is old boys watermarking in paint.
That's great.
Oh, it's fucking beautiful, man. That one actually even looks too good. Let me see if I can find some of his like really champion tagging. I mean, and they're all horrible. They're all absolutely the most horrible fucking, like, you know, I took this with my cell phone camera.
Right, right.
While I was on, you know, ecstasy. Or something. I don't know. They're all so horrifyingly out of focus that I kind of generically recognize this as Halo because, you know, there's one of those.
Spiky weapon.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And it looks...
I just know it's certified because it says Tom Morello on the,
yeah, right.
on the picture. Oh, that's certified.
Certified by Tom Morello. I need to get Tom Morello to sign our SSL certificates. Surely the internet would trust them then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see if I can find
it. Steve and I've got to try out the waypoint in that Xbox Live preview thing.
You got to try out?
I got to.
You were suckered into participating?
It's a free download. I mean,
I guess. Of what?
It's basically like... shit, man. It's what they've all kind of explained it to be. It's like this...
Oh, well, that's good. That certainly clears it up. And that's sort of the definitive explanation, isn't it?
It's like the central Halo hub.
Was it like a merch booth?
No, nothing for sale that I came across.
I don't understand it. It's like a Halo hub, but the only thing I need from Halo is the game.
Well, it gives you backstory on everything, gives you timelines, it gives you all sorts of resources to immerse yourself in that whole.
Is it a
world.
Is it a place or is it just like a is it like an app type? Thing? Is it so? App. Is it like the MGS database
that's
that was
just
released?
What I was gonna say. Simply, yeah.
Okay, so you could have said that,
but nowhere near. Yeah, if I thought about it.
Okay,
but nowhere near as in depth as that was.
Oh, well, that sounds boring.
Yeah, so it might be. But anyway, it's nowhere near as in depth as that damn thing is.
Okay, is it kind of like that, but just, you know, with ads? That's how
yeah,
I view it.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've seen.
The only ad is like this one static ad in the corner. It's very small, and it's for the Air Force. That's it. There's awesome. Nothing that flashes in front of your face.
Anyway. Aim high.
I have no idea. I didn't pay
attention. Headshots.
I didn't pay attention to it.
I thought that was advice, not an ad.
Screenshot database that will plug into like the Halo 3 multiplayer stuff, where you can, you know, find the best voted screenshots, best voted videos, backstory on a ton of shit. It compiles all of your Halo achievements that you've got in ODST and Halo 3. Compiles all of those things and sort of puts you in a ranking with how many achievements you've got. What else was there? Just backstory and a lot of stuff. So I didn't go too far into it. But
I kind of saw it, but it was it got caught in my spam filter somehow of like things, and I was like, oh, that's going over here. Like I don't. It just got marked as something I don't care about. You know, it was a headline, and I was like, is it a game? No, fuck
well,
it.
Well, a lot of these apps that they're putting on for this new thing, the Twitter app, the Facebook app, the Halo Waypoint app. I've used them the one time right after I downloaded them, but I don't ever see myself going back into them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if it was part of that what the fuck ever system, the XMB, if they're still calling that, or the NXE, or whatever the fuck it is. The NXE is what they call it. If they're still calling it that. But if it was a part of that whole thing, maybe I'd have more of a, you know, inclination to jump in there, but without it being...
I'd have thought they would have understood now that seamless integration is the kind of thing that really buries the hook in your cheek.
Yeah.
You know, like having to launch a thing that then segregates me, puts me in a different environment isn't it's just not appealing in the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easier if I can claim, you know, well, the next thing I know, there I was. Or whatever. So, I don't know. I saw that and I hadn't even considered having anything to do with it. I guess it's...
Again, it's a free download, so you'll probably grab it just to take a look at it.
No, I don't think I'll do that.
Okay.
Well, if I haven't, I can't imagine that I would. So
it's not available yet.
Do what?
It's not available yet.
See how much I care?
Yeah, exactly.
You've already done it then, so...
Yeah.
Do I care?
Yeah.
You're
on.
Doing that. I'm playing games. So, clearly, we each spent our time the way we wanted to. What have you played?
I played...
You didn't play Dragon Age, did you?
I didn't play
You Dragon got the disc in, though, didn't you?
I got the disc.
But you didn't play it.
I didn't play
okay,
it.
I just want to make that clear.
All right. I did play the God of War 3 demo. That's all I can
That's
say
cool.
to play. And fucking God of War. I hate to be generic in that sort of description, but it is God of War. And if you played the first two, you love them. If you haven't... You know, get your hand on the demo in either some form or another. You can get it if you pre-order the God of War collection. And you can get it if you get that District 9 on Blu-ray thing. It's short, about 10 minutes. Really pretty to look at. And there are... Let's see.
Did you unzip anybody?
I did. I unzipped... Yeah, I unzipped a Centaur. Is that what
the Zipper Tech? That's what they were calling their like gore layers or whatever, the way that they've modeled the concentric tree rings of a bad guy so that as you like pull his head off you see the various layers of skin and muscle and sinew and everything tear apart in procedural sequence, like, you know, whatever. It looks awesome.
Crazy,
you know? So apparently Scott got to unzip a couple things in the...
I did, and they have the guys where you can, I guess if you cut them in half, I'm button mashing so much I don't actually see myself cut them in half.
You see how old they are?
I just, I just see them crawling on the ground with their hands towards me, I guess to bite my ankles or something, I don't know, but yeah, that was new, and I don't know, just really pretty looking game. Everything is gigantic, everything's huge, you know. You're going up against titans and other things. It's always been that way for God of War. Even in the half bit you've played of the first game, you came in contact with that. What the fuck was it? In the boat.
Yeah, whatever. It was big.
Yeah,
it was ugly.
It's always the scale of like you're really tiny fighting these really huge things. I like that.
Yeah, I want to get there. It doesn't really mean much to me at the moment because I haven't played the first two. I went and pre-ordered the... I had like, you know, five GameStop bucks or whatever the fuck they call that shit that's left over when I give them something that I probably shouldn't have.
You got five GameStop bucks.
Whatever, I had some left over and, you know, in their infinite desperation, I had like $4, and in their infinite desperation to, you know, lock in another pre-order, and they were like, is anything going to pre-order? And I was like, I'd like to get the God of War thing just because I hadn't played them, and they look good to me, you know, it looks like mm-hmm. higher resolution and whatever, I didn't need much, but I would like to play them, so yeah, sure, it's like $40, whatever. And they just, like, spotted me the extra buck, and I'm like, that's great, you know. I know where I was going to get one of those, but... So, whatever. I reserved that when I was picking up my, Dragon Age. So, I'll play it. It's coming out in, like, 2 more weeks, I guess, on the Blu-ray. Fancy Blu-ray thing. Speaking of which, I forgot to ask for mine, but you asked for yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And it should be here tomorrow.
Get it tomorrow.
The Netflix disc.
The Netflix disc. You're a fuck bag for remembering stuff.
Okay,
not reminding
I was gonna
me.
Wait. Why am I fuck bag for
me? For not reminding me?
Oh,
do it.
Sorry.
Because now I won't be able to say. Well, I don't know. It shouldn't take too long, right? To get it.
It's gonna take you forever now.
Probably is gonna take me forever. Well, yep. If I steal his, let's do that. I don't know. I'm curious about how that works. I'm sure everybody is.
Yeah.
To some extent, but.
I got Ratchet and Clank in.
Hey! Yeah.
But I didn't play it any yet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So. Sorry. What were you doing?
I was reading, mostly.
What were you reading?
Book of Amber!
Chronicles of Amber. I recommend it highly. It's good stuff. It's good freaky, crazy shit that nobody ever talks about. It's one of the series that
flies under
everybody's radar.
Hearing you bring it up.
Yeah, I'd bring it up every now and then and be like, it's all
for
this
like
crazy
the last,
shit.
You know, 10 years I've known you
that I can't really describe because it's
you go
weird.
Crazy over it. So I'm like, I gotta read it, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
it's good stuff. It's really, really good stuff. I tried to read. Almost got to finish. I'm still trying to finish off the last little bits of it, but I was trying to finish.
You're in that Dragon Age book, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't really understand like the lay of the land with those things. I wasn't aware that there were two until I bought one. So...
I saw your tweet about that you left it at work or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish it before the game came out. But it is... I bought the Stolen Throne. And it's... prequel to the game. Mm-hmm. But by, like, a generation.
Ah.
And... There haven't really been many... I'm not very far in the game, I should say. Got it for PC. Loaded it up. Obviously, I don't mind starting with an explanation of... I don't know how much you guys have read on the subject. Of, like... The quasi-clusterfuck of the online activation with the BioWare social site for any of the DLC content. Like, it's a giant fucking snare. I very easily could sort of veer off into the, well, it's fine for me, so it's obviously not a problem territory, because I got kind of lucky. I didn't really have any activation issues. I bought a boxed copy just because that was the most workable thing for me at the time. So I got a retail boxed copy, which apparently has fewer issues than anything. It has really no DRM issues or any activation issues or anything like that. And as an experiment of sorts, one of the things that they've done is they've added day one DLC to the game. And they're basically, well, if you want it strictly speaking, there's like fucking scads and oodles of DLC all over the place for this game. If you played the Dragon Age Journeys little flash game online and like unlocked some stuff in there, and if you were like logged into your EA account while you did it, then you could earn certain items. If you're a day one purchaser of the game, it includes a free code for certain DLC, which by itself I think is inordinately expensive. But anybody who buys a new copy of the game, basically, a new packaged copy, gets a little code, and that gets you the DLC. And then there is a second set of... And the DLC we're talking about here is obviously like playable content, you know, like a side story or a quest or something with very specific rewards. It's the other set that's been a little more controversial in terms of what it is. That set is a bit cheaper. I think it's like $7 or something. But it comes with the collector's edition. So the collector's edition gets a code for that one as well. There's also the crazy little cheesy crossover armor, the Mass Effect 2 crossover armor. Hmm. It's reminiscent of the Master Chief armor in Fable 2.
Oh, okay.
It's something that's clearly evocative of the design style of the other game, but made in the style of this game, sort of, and then kind of vice versa for Mass Effect. Good stuff all around. The problem was, none of this was handled internally. None of this was handled within the confines of the game menus itself. I believe the PC version had a much, much, much easier time. And I really feel for people that didn't already have one of the several accounts you needed to have in order for this thing to work. Because I spent a good 30, 40 minutes trying to get the whole thing straightened out, you know, largely because I wanted my stupid little tchotchkes that I earned from the little Flash game. You know, they're nothing trinkets, but they're available for every one of my new characters. I wanted them. And I wanted my DLC, even though I had no intention of using it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I should say the fact that I couldn't get all of it right away was really not critical. Activation for the game was fine. I could have just said fuck all to that stuff and just gone on playing and come back later. But I'm who I am. And many people are like me in this respect, so we're all ridiculously impatient and we want all our shit right now. But you had to, like, sign up and join on the BioWare social site, or you had to have an EA account already, and the game would automatically kick you out to the EA or the BioWare social site to sign up, but you could sort of say, no, I already have an EA account, and it's going to try to import stuff from over there. But it was this just weird clusterfuck of overload, I think. Although, the BioWare social site is still a beta. Whatever the fuck. You know, thanks for doing that. So it was weird, and it was awkward, and I was finally able to get it to recognize me as who I was, and to enter all the information it wanted, and for it to be valid every time it kicked me out to the website, which I don't like. And there, at least as far as the PC version is concerned, there's no reason they couldn't have handled that shit inside of it, because it's got its own little menu system for all available DLC, active downloads, and then like everything you've downloaded and what you have activated and installed on your system. There's no reason it couldn't have been handled completely internal.
Well, did the 360 version do something similar?
I believe it does something similar, and in a way I think I've gathered that it maybe fucked things up a little worse.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't like as much transparency in what was happening. I mean, I'm playing on my PC. It can kick me right to a browser and not cause any shit for me. I'm not sure how it works for them. I think they may have to do it separately.
Mm-hmm.
And any sort of disconnect in the whole process simply results in a failure on the 360 side. Basically them being told, nah, fuck off, it doesn't work.
Mm.
Whereas on the PC, it was a little more understandable. And while the faults were still shitty, it was very clear that the fault was with how I was being forced to navigate their website, mm-hmm. their fan sites, essentially, which is really stupid. Like, you want me there. You want me...
It's like on the 360 side, it would seem you would just give a, you know...
Redeem a code. Yeah, it's... No, well, part of the problem here is that some of the unlocks are coming from directions that have nothing to do with live.
That's kind of fucked up, right?
Like the Flash game, you know? I've earned things based on what I've accomplished while logged into my EA account.
I'm astonished that
it's very
Microsoft
strange.
You know, let that shit happen in a reasonable period of time, given the kind of things that they drag their feet on for ages and ages and ages and can't make up their minds if it's okay or not, you know?
Yeah.
I'm unsure. You want to go around or outside of live, like if things just seem to come to a standstill.
Well, so. You remember that this has been done before, and it has been done with EA. This is very much the tack that EA took with Bad Company.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there were things where certain unlocks, I don't know if you remember like how it broke down, but there were like 5 unlocks that could be achieved in certain ways through Bad Company. Mm. And it was like playing the demo, you know, and would grant you one unlock, special unlock. Being able to claim ownership of, I believe, like 3 Battlefield series games through your EA account. Stuff like that. And it was all kind of verified on the back end. And then in Bad Company, what you would do is you would go into the multiplayer menu, and it would, there was basically a place where you could click and like basically like detect shit that I'm qualified to own, you know? Yeah. And it would go out there and it would be like, you know, and grab stuff and validate it on your end. So that was fairly smooth. And this, I believe, is happening in somewhat the same way, only there's the added layer of, like, there's the EA account, the BioWare social thing. And it is neat. Don't get me wrong. Once it's set up, it's quite cool. Because, Scott, you've got it on the PC, and I was kind of... not the 360. I've got it on PC. And I'm kind of trying to, like, edge Jeremy towards taking a look at it on the PS3. Hmm. But with all of those individual accounts, like, we can each go to each other's BioWare social page and see, like, what you've done. All the various achievements that are tracked on their site, and, like, what kind of characters you have, how much time you've spent, things like that. It's interesting. It's not necessary at any level, but except for the DLC. So you can see, like, this is all so much more complicated than it needed to be. And I suppose it was inevitable that it was going to, like, get all fucked up. I think a lot of people were pissed about that. Some people have had trouble simply even activating their game. There are apparently nasty, nasty problems if you bought it through Impulse. Mm. Quasi-strange option or problems if your option was Steam. And then a handful of people that I have heard who got the box copy didn't seem to have any trouble. I think one person may have, but One of the problems was that apparently EA's customer support was wanting to basically shift blame, like, well, we're going to blame this on your digital delivery, you know, like the fact that your validation code isn't working. So it's not great right now for a lot of people. We're only 2 days from when it was released, and they're trying some very complicated, like, really ill-advised shit with it, but the general consensus seems to be that people are just happy, like, once they get what they want, once everything is ironed out and is running smoothly, everybody's really fucking happy with it. So, as far as the game itself is concerned, the things I wanted to say about it were kind of, like, irrevocably tied to other things, so I don't necessarily mean to drift in that direction if I do, but I got it on the PC. Like, the fact that it's essentially going to have, and I didn't realize this until after I'd already kind of made the decision, but the fact that it is going to be modifiable, user modifiable through an SDK, it was excellent. I had not expected that. That's just tremendous. Part of me had, for whatever reason, expected it to run like dog shit, just because I'm always afraid of that, you know? I'm always afraid somebody's going to cram too much shit into a PC game, and it's not going to run smooth. On the one hand, it runs just incredibly. The problem with that is that it doesn't really look all that great. It looks good. Don't get me wrong. It looks about half as good as it should. I've talked at length about, like, the shit I hated about KOTOR.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't think I'm being flip when I say that I got extremely excited when I zoomed in and I could look up with my mouse. I was really happy to look up and see the...
I was about to say, how long did it take you to try that?
the part where they let you control your character for the very first time.
You're like, all right, here we go.
That's what I did.
Do a little cross your
chest. Yep. Oh! I looked up, and I was like, there is the vaulted ceiling of a throne room. I am a happy person. It looks good. The characters look good. You know, again, not... It's that's exactly what I would expect out of the box. It's wanting a little bit for detail textures in some of the immediate environment. Bookcases and books in the background, shit on a table and stuff like that. It could use a bit more. The first thing I started with was like... it was like the same thing I ran in the little Flash game, like a human noble warrior, I think. And you obviously have a lot of options. You only have the three race options, human, elf, and dwarf. And then, like, if depending on what you choose, you've only got certain, like, origin paths. You know, like, if no matter what race you choose, elf or human, if you're a mage, the mage has their very specific origin. Like, if you're a human warrior or a human rogue... bard, whatever the fuck you turn out to be, you can only choose the noble, like, path.
Okay.
The origin path. But, like, the dwarves have, like, highborn and lowborn path, like a noble and a common origin, which I haven't got a chance to try it. That's, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to talk a lot about what happens when you get deep into the game. I'm having the same trouble I'm having in Torchlight, which is... I've been playing the shit out of Torchlight, but I don't have a character past 20 because I'm running all three characters contiguously. I'll run one up like three levels, get kind of a bunch of gear. I'll be like, wow, this is really great for my other character, you know, when I'm having a blast with this character. And I'll get so much gear that'll make me think about my Vanquisher that I just have to go grab my Vanquisher and like put on all this gear I found for him and then go play her for three or four levels. And then so on and so on in this constant cycle. I keep telling myself I need to get away from it, but I haven't been able to do that. So I have like three level 18 to 20 characters, which justifies my time. And the first thing I rolled up in Dragon Age was a human noble warrior. And I got him as far as his entire origin. Like, I mean, not certainly that's what the name of the game refers to, but... all of these different people have a very distinctive origin story, like basically a different starting area. If it were an MMO, and it's I don't know. Basically, I got him out of that and to the first place where all of the stories essentially go. But I don't know that I'm going to be able to move significantly beyond that until I've played all the origins. I honestly think the first thing I'm going to have to do. Is play all six of the origins and then decide what I actually like and what I want to be.
Yeah.
It's,
how long did it take you to go through the origin?
The first, you know, people had been talking about like 2.5 hours or some 2 hours or something for these origins. And I did the warrior and I thought it felt awfully brisk and a little abrupt. I don't mind saying, and just not quite the thing. You know? But, I mean, they certainly didn't fuck around. Like, there was, like, to my mind, what was unexpected shit almost right away. And I did have a decent understanding of the politics of this world, or at least the background of the current state of politics, based on the book I'm reading. And that first book is about, like, you know, rebels who are trying to regain a throne that had been taken over by a usurper, basically. And so I kind of understood it coming from the human perspective on this one, the human warrior perspective, which is very similar to where the people who were in that book. But it was good, you know, not it wasn't great for me, but it was pretty good. And then I decided to do the mage. And the mage took, in my estimation, quite a bit longer than the warrior and was much more interesting. They've done a lot of what you could argue are really silly inversions in this game. And they're obvious. They're very... you can look at it and you're like, I see what you did. You took ancient, well-established, like, tropes that have been carved in stone, and you just simply created a negative image of them or something, you know.
You told me about that the elves are not...
Right. Instead of being a revered race at any level, the elves are basically considered, like, trash. They're servants and exiles at best. They're severely... There's a lot of, like, racial disharmony in this world. The dwarves within their own society have, like, a really clearly and strongly, very strongly divided caste system. So they've done a lot of things that you see in certain ways. Dwarf, elf, human, you know, racial tensions, whatever, you know, like fantasy setting. These are all familiar things, but they've put them together in odd ways. So you think, yeah, it's so obvious. They're so obtuse about how they've built this that, God, it's just stupid looking, you know? Which is really where I was in the months kind of leading up to it. Thought it was ham-fisted and obvious. And that's not invalid. The fantasy world itself is sort of broadly and simply drawn and kind of generic. The environments aren't especially great, you know? And it's, yeah, I'm at the ruins of a crumbled castle fort whatever thing, and it looks like 1,000 of these I've seen before. But somehow, I'm engaged. A, like, they've done more work than I expected in building a believable fantasy world. It's kind of hard to make one up from scratch and not have it sound like 7th grade fanfic or something. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good. Their proper names and their place names and how they've built their little thing. It's good. It's good. And they have that... I already know from those goddamn juicy-ass little spoiler text blocks that you're not supposed to click on. And you know you're not supposed to click on, but you fucking do it anyway, and then you regret
it's
it.
There.
I did that once, and I was like, motherfucker. Son of a bitch, I don't want to know that. But that sounds awesome. I can't believe they did that. You know, like, they're good at that. They're really good at that. We all know they're really good at that, and that buys them a lot of patience. And I remember, and I was a little bit, whatever. I was on, like, my third drink or something when I was doing the mage thing. But, like, the voice acting in the mage thing caught me especially. And I was just like, this is all just very good. Like, there's a lot of good stuff going on here. On the surface, it's quite boring. You know, a lot like Mass Effect. You're in conversations a lot of the time. And then what's the environment's not technically all that dynamic. It's very narrow. It's very constrained. But you realize that if you view that as a failure, if you view that as a structural weakness, then the reality is that the quality of the narrative, the sometimes kind of unbelievable quality of all the voice work, if not its own quality, then the fact that there's so goddamned much of it, is it really buttresses the whole thing, you know, keeps it standing and makes you realize this is a kind of a towering achievement of a thing. There's a reason why people don't do these anymore. Because fucking hard. And BioWare are some of the last people who know how to do it proper. And a lot of the failures of the game, they're just the sorts of things that those of us who enjoy this kind of RPG, it's not that we accept them, it's just that we know this is part of it, this is what it is. You know, a lot of these weaknesses. The fact that it's graphically weak, but... You know, my skill trees are, you know, deep as forever, you know? And, like, some people don't want to get lost in that shit. I really do. And I like the fact that, you know, I can go roll up the mage and honestly feel like I've never played a mage quite like I've played this guy before. That their storyline is very good. You know, they're very much like Jedi, taken as little children. You know, when the minute they start to show any sort of talent or affinity. But basically imagine if Jedi were hated and if society in general were basically convinced that they were all eventually going to become Sith Lords anyway. That's how these guys are treated. They're slaves, basically, to society. There's an entire order of knights whose job it is to stand around with fucking swords and, like, if they think you're, like, too weak to keep from being possessed by demons, which is, you know, that's what demons like to do. They like magical guys. So they come looking for you. If they think you're too weak to hold that shit off, they'll fucking kill you. If they think you're too strong and can't be controlled, they'll fucking kill you. If you don't dive into the Fade, into this nightmare realm, and kind of conquer your fears, like Luke Skywalker walking off into the tree, you know, they fucking kill you. If you're taking too long, they fucking kill you. Like, they have no patience for your shit, because they don't know what the hell to do with you. So, they're ultimately powerful and indispensable, but the way that they're treated within society is not like we're used to bullshit magical creations, you know, like Jedi being treated. So it's very interesting. You know, to find out your kid is going to be a mage is a really horrible thing. And the best you can fucking hope for, if you don't make it through all of this unscathed, is that they essentially turn you into a... They magically lobotomize you and turn you into a goddamn zombie who just mixes fucking potions or whatever forever. Like, it's...
Great.
It's weird and it's kind of crazy, you know? And it's... I was like, I can't exactly predict the twists and turns because you've changed the layout of how the story's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know how mage is supposed to go. It's supposed to work like this. I've read this book 1,000 times. But it's all working a little bit different, and that's a little inspiring, you know? And it's fun. So I know for a fact, really, before I... You know, so I played that mage through to the same point. And I know that I will play everybody to that point and then move forward in the game, which is a little daunting because they're not mere snippets like I was afraid they would be. I was afraid there was some overestimation, but I swear that the mage story really did take me 2.5 hours, maybe three. You know, it's of real significance. After that point, I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot of deviation. Everybody pretty much proceeds the same way. But, you know, and there's the usual dialogue options. Everything from lawful good to chaotic evil, all those normal sort of types of things, you know. Your dudes don't talk, but there's so many variations in dudes, rather than there being, you know, boy shepherd and girl shepherd, like in Mass Effect. There's boy and girl, and then all these other different permutations. So it's... That's how KOTOR worked, you know. It's what it is. It's cool. We make exceptions for those kinds of things. But let me tell you what, man. There is something to be learned from this game. It runs great on the PC, but that means it's largely not that much different than the console versions. They didn't have to suffer drastic and horrifying cuts to their texture resolution or to their poly count or anything like that. It looks really good on the PC. The art is really good. The interface is very crisp. Leaving aside specific ass-chapping bullet points right now, like dedicated servers and player counts and stuff, which we will talk about in a minute, I want to point out that what's happened here with Dragon Age is the example of how to treat a whole community of gamers. Every platform suffers a little bit for this being an essentially all-platform game. There is an overhead, like you can zoom the camera out to kind of this... It isn't just a zoom out. Like, when you're kind of zoomed in what is a traditional 3D camera perspective, I can use WASD and my mouse, and it feels for all the world like an MMO. And it's good. I've got my little action bar, and I'm running around, and you physically position your guys in places and then choose their attacks. It's good. When I pull the camera out, it doesn't just move out, but it snaps the entire game into an isometric three-quarter view, which is, for all the world, Baldur's Gate. And I know, like, RJ, you would not recognize it. I don't think you would either, Scott. But it's that's how it was done. So then, instead of it being...
Not that it matters, by the way, because you can't in the console.
I know that. That's the point I'm getting to.
Okay.
Suddenly the thing acts different. It isn't just the camera's in a different place. The game understands, and there's no noticeable margin. There's no threshold. The game just all of a sudden understands, I'm going to be something slightly different now. Now, I'm party-centric instead of character-centric. Mm. You know? The whole thing is... when you choose a portrait on the left side, the camera doesn't snap to any one of them. You're merely looking at the whole of your party. And it becomes, all of a sudden, click to move becomes the thing. And you can either even kind of treat it a little bit like an RTS and do a drag box across your guys to select various things. Like it's,
okay.
It behaves in a way that PC gamers have long since grown accustomed to. And it means a lot. You draw the camera in, and it's acting exactly like the console version. And in some places, that's actually preferable. But in other zones, and supposedly certain fights have been modified a little bit on the console because of this. In some areas, like I'll have a mix of melee and ranged combat, and pulling the camera out really is a much better way to get a clear picture of where all the enemies are, and then who I've sent to deal with what. It's good. It feels like Baldur's Gate. And the fact that I can, you know, pull the camera back in and it becomes a little more action RPG or a little more MMO, it's sexy. But it's the ease with which they've implemented this. And it's not a big deal. And you guys, if you played on the consoles, it's no kind of deal breaker because they've made the tiny adjustments necessary that the reaction times for things like that you get with a mouse interface just aren't there on the console. So they've made the necessary adjustments. And I think that the UI is a bit fail on the console, but I do think they've done the very best they can. And everybody seems to agree with that. Graphically, it seems to be just fine. You know, it's good in that regard for both parties. And instead of... I would like to point out that in, you know... Jeff Nabokov in particular, like, he made a very kind of prescient statement where he was complaining about the fact that nobody reviews PC versions of multi-platform titles anymore. And he was right. Up until this point. Most of the people I've read have specifically talked about the PC version and given the necessary props to the PC version. All things being equal, best on the PC. If you don't have a PC to run it, that's cool. You know, like, don't stress it. The other two versions are good too. But PC version gets the edge. And the reason is that even though there were compromises necessary for the console version, they didn't compromise all versions.
Right.
And it's proof that that's not necessary. It's proof that very simple things, like offering a camera perspective that has been a historical success for their types of games to the PC gamers, is not that hard. And it's very, very good. Offering us hotbar support and a native mouse-driven interface is not hard. Just because you had to retool it for the console doesn't mean that you have to spread that same homogenous bullshit across all platforms so that we all suffer a little bit. Little things like, and I, this sounds stupid, I know it will sound stupid to you, but the dialogue boxes are natively designed for high-resolution PC monitors. This sounds dumb, but if you look at almost any other successful PC game that uses this type of thing from even the recent past, one of the first things I had to do is go get a mod for Fallout 3, because the dialogue boxes were designed on the PC the same way they were on the console. So they're these big, fat, fucking giant things that take no notice of the fact that I'm playing in 1920 by 1080. So I'd go get a mod to, like, scale that stuff down because I'm not a 70-year-old woman who needs block text. It's a minor detail, but the fact that it's there and that these things are in proper text font for a high-resolution display means that it's not a lot, but nobody was marginalized unnecessarily in any of these ports. And it kind of proves to me that all it takes is a little bit of appreciation for what are some of the more important nuances for each place to keep people from being pissed off. Instead of going out of your goddamned way to antagonize the shit out of one segment of your player base. Clearly there's a lot to be learned. Not from appeasement, but from very simply recognizing what works in what places, even if the differences are minor. It doesn't take much to keep us happy. It doesn't take much to let us know that you're aware of our needs and the things that make us really enjoy what you have to offer. They've done that here. And the fact that I can slight some of the detail textures and stuff means nothing. It's a modifiable game. And that alone is bigger than I can express here. Like, any little peccadillo I have with the game is going to be solved by a modder somewhere at some point in probably the not-too-distant future once the SDK is in the hands of people who like to fuck around with that shit. So I'm immensely happy with it. I'm absolutely aware of its flaws, but flaws don't really ever get in the way of charm, you know? And there was some... I mean, you know, there's just so much artistry in some of the voice acting that, I mean, that alone, it's like, God, they really... There's some very good work here, you know? Even just the workaday dialogue is like... the right people with the right amount of gravel and the right amount of gravitas and the thing, you know. Anybody who's played through the mage thing will understand, like, again, I was on like my second or third drink or whatever, but the sloth demon, like, I enjoyed quite a lot. Hopefully there's more of that stuff in the future, and there's clearly a lot of good twists and turns, judging by the fact that it's, you know, in a day-old thread, there were like two pages of blocked-out text. And I was like, okay, this is exactly where I want to go. And apparently I'll be able to go through it for like 40 fucking hours. So the fact that people are still delivering that kind of RPG, it's just, it's nice. It's a hearty meal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm extremely happy about it. I am only disappointed by the fact that I sit down in front of the motherfucker and, like, open a menu, and then I'm browsing some skills, and then I'm looking up a thing, and I'm comparing some stuff, and then I get into a couple of conversations, and, like, 36 hours have gone by, or something. Like, you can vanish in a game like this easily. Anybody who's dropped, you know, a couple hundred in Oblivion can attest to that. So, this is obviously not that far, but, I don't know, just good shit all the way around, and, like, just good for everybody. I know there's still some issues with it, and that sucks a big one. Like, I don't know. There's no way to get around that. Like, some of the activation problems are just straightforward goat-fucked, and I don't have any... I have to agree, that's bullshit, and that's absolutely fucked up. But, you know, there's as little antagonism and as little compromise, I think, as you could hope for. And it's just a great game. It's their typical good shit. And you know, this is coming from somebody who just had no interest in going to a fantasy world right now. But it's solid. All right, so much to the point. Like, one last little thing, but so much to the point that, like... And again, I haven't actually gotten into the meat of the story, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but, like, I actually met one of the guys from the book I'm reading.
Oh, neat.
And it excited the shit out of me. You know? And, it, like, because my first guy through, I didn't take the little... There was his tent. There's Loghain's tent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's pretty cool, you know? Kind of a prick, but he's, you know, whatever, with good reason. He's pretty cool. I like him in the book, you know? And I hadn't finished the book yet. I was like, oh, shit, clearly he lives, you know? That's great.
And the book takes place, like, generations before.
A generation before.
A generation before, okay.
Yeah, he was very young. He was, like, they don't really say, but I guess mid-20s.
Okay.
And he's sort of confidant to the prince... in exile,
mm-hmm.
Heir to the throne kind of thing. It's about them reclaiming his throne. And it becomes really clear very early on. Like, they just basically give it to you that, like, the current king is his son. So, I mean, you kind of knew that that's the whole direction it was going anyway, but, like, Merrick is dead, but Loghain still lives, and he's still, like, you know, confidant and advisor, military advisor,
right,
to the guy. And I was like, and so, but he's like in his tent, you know, and he's got a guard outside. He won't let you see him. And I was like, motherfucker. So my next dude, I made sure to take the coercion skill, like, you know, to get the dialogue options to, like, fuck with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, bring that motherfucker out here, which is not exactly what I said, but I got some important shit to tell it, you know? And so he was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. If you've got a message for him, sure. And he drags him out there, you know, I'm like, Hey! What's going on? Basically, you know?
I'm like, give him your copy of the book. Sign it.
And will you sign this, man? And I was like, wow, you look pretty much just like I thought you did.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to get to, is because all the time in these books, you make this mental image of what these characters look like. And
It's a nothing thing, man, but it was fun. And that's one of the reasons I like doing that. And for what it's worth, that book is actually very well put together. It is very well put together. I like it quite a bit. But, like, Loghain comes walking out. I'm like, motherfucker, you look just like I thought you would. You're looking good, man.
How you
doing? How's it going?
I heard about that shit you went through, dude.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I haven't finished your book and everything, man. Did Merrick get pissed at you for sleeping with old girl? You know, like, that's just how I felt. On the inside, that's how I was. And I was like, wow, that's really good that I'm like that. That's really good that I feel that way. You know, because anybody who hasn't experienced that thing, and it's fine, it's whatever, you know. But there was, like, very clearly, it was very subtle, you know, like the way that he walked out, and there was a lot of sort of, he was supposed to be an important guy. Not just in the way that the other NPCs had talked him up, but, like, there's a nod there. There's, like, if you've read the thing, you already know who this is, and this is fun for you. We know it's fun for you, you know?
Cool.
So I was like, because the whole time I'm like, do I know this guy? Who is this person? Okay. Because I didn't know exactly where the timeline was. Uh-huh. And then somebody said Loghain. And I was like, huh? Where? Who is he? He's great. Maybe he'll remember me. You know? I mean, this is just me narrating, like, how the shit's bouncing.
I can totally see what you mean.
But it was great. It was fun. And I was like, God, they can do this to me. I love that they can do this to me at any level.
Yeah.
So, I had a great appreciation for it, but, you know, clearly by the time we do this next week, I will have spent real time in the story, but I do want to go through everybody's origin to kind of, because I don't think I want to be a dwarf. I don't want to play as it.
I caught that too.
Like,
I don't want to be a dwarf.
Well, I mean, I just don't. I like their thing, and I think it may have something to do with the book. The book was so clearly from the human perspective. Mm-hmm. So my relationship to this world is so very much from the human perspective that's where I want to be. And there's a certain freedom in playing the race that doesn't have any sort of natural barriers in that society, you know? If I play, like, somebody else mentioned this in one of the cog threads, like, if I play an elf, I'm going to be a fucking motherfucker to these people. I am going to take every chaotic, evil thing ever. Because, like, they're half a head shorter and they got slightly pointy ears. What the fuck is the problem here? Where's the hate? Like, I seriously don't, you
particularly
know,
if you're going to be an elf mage, huh?
Yeah. So I'm just going to be a dick to every... Actually, I'm going to be an elf rogue. I'm actually going to play that. And I'm going to be a fucking asshole to everybody. Because apparently that's the way the dialogue options go. Everybody just sort of kind of treats you that way. It's like, fuck you. That'll be my... Here's my chaotic evil, you know? And the dwarves seem kind of cool, but I don't know that I necessarily want to feel that story through their perspective. So.
Yeah, they're dwarves. Who the fuck cares?
Huh?
They're dwarves. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, they're short. Little motherfuckers. Live underground. Freaked out by the sky.
Big feet and beards.
Yeah. I like them.
They piss me off.
I like them. No. To some extent. But, it's good. I can't recommend it enough. I really do hope you actually play it. I know it's not your normal. I know it's not your normal thing.
Yeah, keep it.
Seriously,
in mind, I never made it out of the dungeon
in
Oblivion. So.
I'm going to make.
That's when it got good.
Yeah.
I know, and I never made.
I'm
it
going
out of
to tell you something now that I don't normally tell you. Play this shit on easy,
or I will piss on your 360.
Play it on easy. I don't know that you will want to deal with some of the ways that a game like this punishes you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you couldn't do it. I'm just saying I don't know that you would want to. And I think that it's worth experiencing. And there are a lot of people out there making valid points, like the tapestry of their storytelling is so rich that, and this is one of the few times that I would agree, like, yeah, I don't know, just go and play shit on easy just so you can drink the story in, you know? Mm-hmm. If you don't, I don't want you to get to a point where, like you did in Brutal Legend, where you're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Story ends here, you know, just because I'm pissed at this battle, because it's kind of cheap, because that's kind of how they do. So, I recommend at least to like easy.
Does it have a difficulty slider?
It doesn't have a slider, but it's selectable and it's dynamically selectable.
Okay. Cool.
I believe.
Because like Oblivion,
I'm not 100% sure.
Oblivion was one of those where I was like, I don't want to put up with the bullshit combat, but I'm having so much fun in this world. I think I'll just turn the slider all the way down. Yeah,
Oblivion was broken.
I forgot that it was broken.
Yeah, like if you didn't understand if you didn't game the system in Oblivion, it was broken.
Yeah,
the only way to keep it working was to game the system. Like, but if you're like me or you, where it's like, well, I want to be a rogue, so I want to concentrate on acrobatics and lockpicking.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden you're level 10, you can barely pick up your sword.
The shit out
of you. But everything's like a level 10, or you know, it was bullshit.
Like you had one of two choices: turn the difficulty slider all the way down.
Yeah,
this is on the console. You had more choice on the PC, or never level up.
Yeah, or you could go anyway and like set your primaries to stuff that you'll never use.
Yeah,
so that the things you actually use are not forcing up your level. So, but that's gaming the system. That's how you had to physically do it. It's like, it's bullshit. This is not quite that way. And it is a little more convenient because it has the... doesn't require micromanagement. There is the option to sort of auto-level your characters and stuff. So it's as friendly as you need it to be. But I don't see there being any problem playing on easy. Specifically, or particularly because... sometimes in some fights, positioning, queuing, creating sort of this game's version of the Gambit system where you set conditional response for the AI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those things are obviously just really whip-quick on the PC. And on the console, it's a little more clutchy. So, trust in the automation, drop your difficulty down a little bit, and the overall experience apparently still comes out being... the same. So that's my recommendation based on what I've heard, and it has a lot to do with your familiarity with this type of game too. So but I mean for not having really gotten into the meat of the story, I'm already in love with it. They haven't even gotten to the point where they're like yanking me around by my medulla oblongata, you know, like and that's one of the things they do. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope that, you know, you guys can spend some time with it over the weekend.
Oh, I definitely will. I'll definitely put in time with it. So is that pretty much essentially what you played?
I had to put Torchlight off to the side. I mean, just because, like, whatever, you know, it's new. Which made me, you know, sad, because got to tap that vein. But still waiting. At this moment, we still don't have the patch or the SDK for that game, so... I know they're probably working really hard to fix some of the patch issues that people have had, but yeah, that was, I guess.
Yeah, the Dragon Age guys did something kind of dumb though with their DLC.
Oh, right. Specifically, yes, the Warden's Keep stuff.
A lot of people had been apparently unhappy with the number of items you could have, and
there was no external storage,
right?
Or at least not at release. There was what did they say that? There had been an external storage option in your camp.
There had been like a way to store things in like all the camps or whatever, but it was apparently buggy and people lost items, so they excised it.
Right.
And so then after release, they're like, hey, it'd be nice to like have some other storage option. And so they released some like, what, $6, $7 DLC.
Yeah, that's the Warden's Keep stuff, the cheaper of the two DLC options. And the one that only comes free with the collector's edition.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're not like... gouging for like a thing that should have been in the game, like it's just, you know, whatever. But this is where it's stupid. Like if somebody perceives a problem with your game and then you release some content that fixes that perceived problem, then they're going to perceive themselves as paying for
a fix.
And nobody wants to pay for a fix to something that they feel is wrong.
They don't
want to
think they're paying for a fix.
No.
Either.
So like either give it away for free, or don't fucking make it.
Yeah.
Just don't even put it out there, because you're going to be dogpiled on. And if you can't see that, I'm sorry, but you're kind of dumb.
Yeah. Or they
I know,
did a good
thing by... I don't believe there was anything malicious going on
No.
I just think they were dumb about how they went about
it. Yeah, and they it was in an effort, I think, to kind of stand between the fans and EA and be like, no. Like, don't do that thing. Don't say that this is EA.
Mm-hmm.
Like... doing any sort of money grab. Like, it's not. It was us. This is why. It's coincidence that it appears to you to be this thing. And that's just it. It's not what it is. So, but yeah, you're right. It's like, well...
Then you should have thought a little bit more about that before you did.
You have to be aware of the perception.
I take you at your word, you know. That's fine, but... Yeah. Developers got to get more aware of the perception of their actions when it comes to releasing, you know, paid content after release.
It doesn't... Just because you don't want it to matter doesn't mean it matters. When you can count your fans and your customers in the millions, mm-hmm. it matters. You need to know that it does. Perception is reality for these people. So, yeah, it's a thing. Clumsily done, but it's okay. I think they'll do okay. That didn't even click with me at all because I hadn't even paid attention to that. Mm-hmm. And the reasons are good. I mean, the storage on your individual character, your item spaces on your character is very generous.
Mm-hmm.
So it hadn't even occurred to me. But, yeah. And I hate the fact that I probably will buy their DLC and think, like, $7 for a box to keep my shit in, you know? But
well, you get the PC version. When the SDK comes out, somebody else will make free boxes for you.
Well, yeah. they'll infinitize my my space on my character. So, yeah, that'll be fun. But, like, really good shit. I mean, I know it's been a lot of time on it now, but it's, like, it's a big deal right now. And I'm 6 months ago couldn't care less about playing it. Now I'm, like, very much turned around on it. So that matters to me.
My biggest curiosity this week for this segment of the show was RJ.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do this weekend?
Or this past week? I spent the earlier part of the week finished off Demon's Souls.
Did you finish it off during Halloween? When the game got really
unfortunately, I didn't know about the Halloween thing until after I got through with the game. That's why I died 30 times on this boss. Through this game. For those of you that don't know, for Halloween, they decided to turn the character tendency and the world tendency to pure black, which makes the game harder in terms of difficulty. The enemies are much stronger, and your character's soul form gets less hit points than it would normally in neutral world tendency or pure white world tendency. Black phantoms tend to show up more often. There were areas in the game that I was very familiar with, having gone back and forth over and over again. Instead of two blue-eyed knights, I had two blue-eyed knights, three archers, and two black phantoms to deal with. So, needless to say, I died a lot in that area. Fighting the boss of Boletarian Palace, Old King Alant, was much harder than normal because, like I said, pure black world tendency. Everybody, the enemies hit harder, and you're essentially weaker
mm-hmm.
than you normally would be. But like I said, I didn't find that out until after the fact. Getting to the end of it, try not to put too many spoilers in it, but I found that at the end, after you've beaten all the archdemons and major demons, the difficulty at the end was significantly less than going through the game.
Huh.
You know, if it was very, very easy. You have to make a choice near the end. You can either accept.
Don't spoil.
Oh, girls.
Don't spoil.
Don't spoil. Well, put it this way. You got a choice to make. Either one gives you the good ending, one gives you the bad ending.
Yeah.
So I took the good one. And after it was all said and done, it puts you right back at the beginning when you died through the tutorial. And after this, you go through the game again. If you like, and the enemies are tougher, but you get more souls this way.
Love this company. It's just
it gives you more souls this way, so you can level up from where you are. You still have all the same items you had to begin with. You got the same soul level, but you got to rescue all the merchants and NPCs again the second time around. After I did that, I spent some time with the multiplayer aspect of the game, basically invading other people's worlds and
Yeah, seeing that's really how to, what I was curious about.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to disappoint you. I didn't go in there to kill anybody.
So what did you do?
Did that freak the person out then when you showed up?
It probably did.
I'm not going to do anything.
You know, it probably did, but I didn't get to see him. He was probably near at the far end of the stage that I was. In soul form, you can use the, white-eyed stone to turn yourself into a black phantom and invade someone else's world. When you do that, it just has you wait, and it goes through the process of setting up some random world to go into. It's not like some it's probably set up to where it puts you at the same or relatively close same soul level as mm-hmm. the other person. Because what point would there be to be level 58, and you're invading someone's world at like level 2, just starting out? Wouldn't be much of a contest, really.
Well, which to a lot of people would be the point.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you don't get a choice in the matter. I mean, it just says loading, wait, initializing, random. There you go. You're in their world. You're in black. You're in black. Black Phantom form. Like I said, I didn't go there to kill anybody. I wanted
is there
to
voice chat? Can you hear him? Or mm-hmm. if he's got his headset on or anything? Can you?
I didn't have a headset on during the time, and I didn't hear any voices.
Do they allow people to talk back and forth whenever they do that, or is it strictly?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I didn't hear any. Okay. I didn't hear any voice chat on there. If that option was available at all, there is a penalty though. If you don't,
kill someone,
if you don't kill them,
oh my god,
it's a penalty. So I found out the hard way that
that's what you get, Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, that's what I get. But I was able to get my level back. Thank you very much. So, if you don't kill the person whose world you invade,
uh-huh.
you lose a soul level.
And basically, you forfeit, I guess.
You forfeit or whatnot.
Yeah, okay.
You will lose a soul level, typically in strength. So sometimes you will lose a strength level to the point where some weapons you could pick up and use earlier, you can't anymore until you get that strength level back.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to harvest souls in certain areas, you know, go back, lather, rinse, repeat, until I got enough souls to pick that level back up again. The other element was the summoning of phantoms to help you out in areas of the game that you're having trouble with. You can use the blue-eyed stone, if I'm saying the terms of the items right, to leave a sign on the floor, much like a message or a bloodstain.
Right.
You could set it there, set your soul sign there, and then you could leave a message next to it, probably saying, you can summon here. That's one of the typical messages I saw. You can summon here. If you step on a soul sign, you'll see an after image of the person who left it, and you'll see their stats and their level and what other people rated them as when they played with them.
That's nice.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's real beneficial. You don't want to pick anybody who's rated like level D. You know, he didn't help at all. But you want to get someone like in the A's or B's, you know, willing to help you out and do anything like that. You know, step on the signs, summon the person, they'll accept, come in and help you out. They typically leave soul signs near boss entrances or at the very start of the stage
mm-hmm.
to give you a hand on that. Another thing about the black phantom part, you gotta just run around and go through the areas with someone, helping them out actually. You don't have to kill them, you can actually help them if you want to. But like I said, I didn't go that route. I just forfeited just to see how they would set it up, how they set up the matches there. But it was just random. Just pick going to a random world or whatnot. So now that you got a copy,
your ass.
I should warn you.
I'm going there and get a new asshole cut.
Yeah. If you go online some night and you see a mouse look, right?
Yeah.
If Mouse Look has invaded your world, yes, you know that he's coming to kill you.
He's a complete pussy, and you can kick his ass.
In the most invisible ways possible. Yes, exactly. But yeah, it was a pretty good way to set things up, you know. Especially if you need help, you always got that option.
Yeah.
You can always summon somebody if you need help with an area or whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Did you put in more time with Tekken?
No, I rented. That was a rental, and I took that back, but, you know. I'll probably pick it up when the price drops, but like I said, it was at the core. Like I said earlier, at the core, it's a pretty good game. It's decent, yeah. But like I said, I'm going to wait a while on that one. So I spent some time with Fallout 3. I was able to get to the pit. I played through the pit.
I fucking hated the pit.
Yeah,
I got a third of the way through, and then I was like, I fucking hate everybody here. I hate you all.
Yeah,
where can I create my own fucking contingent of motherfuckers who want to kill other people here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. In the chamber of my shotgun. Fuck off and die. If you open your mouth, you're dead. If you're walking around, you're dead. Yeah. If you got something I want, you're dead. If you're not dead, you're dead. Like, I fucking killed everybody in the pit, and then I left.
Wow.
I hated that place so much.
Yeah, I found it pretty straightforward with just one moral choice, really. Not very, just kind of lackluster, really. Pretty and simple, especially with all the stuff I had to go through in the wasteland earlier.
Yeah, well, like pretty I was simple. Telling you before, chronologically speaking,
mm-hmm.
those that expansion material really grew up as it was released.
Yeah.
Because Anchorage was like, there was very little Fallout in Anchorage. It was a fucking first-person shooter, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was a little sad in that regard. And then the pit kind of becomes a little more complicated. Still not, like, really awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mostly because those scary motherfuckers, like, sneak up behind me and then scream at me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
to give an indication, though, the hardest thing about the pit to me was getting all my stuff back after they took it at the gate.
I couldn't tell that that's where it was. I thought it was pointing me to the chick.
Yeah.
I was like, bitch, give me my stuff. Where's my stuff? I let a good shit.
Yeah,
I'll be on my way.
I was like running around. I went back. I went after the jig was up, basically. You know, had all that armor and had all the stuff I carried with me. I was like, wondering where my stuff was. Even went back outside where the dude who took my stuff was. Took him out, right. Searched his body, and was like, well, he ain't got it. Damn. Go around, keep looking around again from where I left my plasma rifle and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of fun there. Yeah. Sort of put me off my Fallout for a
bit. Lackluster, but, you know, it was different, so.
I hate those people. Mm. I was just like, you can all die. I don't like any of you.
Yeah. That's pretty much that was the bulk of what I played throughout this week.
Yeah. Didn't Jeremy, we covered you, right?
Yeah, that I didn't do a goddamn thing.
That's all right.
You did more reading than anything else.
That's good. Yeah, you need to read. Yeah. You need to read.
Sounds like a good book, though.
It is.
Sounds good.
It's really good. Maybe I'll play some Ratchet and Clank before the next show.
Yeah.
I have something to say about that.
Maybe we can play some more Borderlands before.
Man.
Over the weekend. Yeah. We'll see.
I still read up on builds, but I don't do anything with them because we haven't played any. So it's like, I want to try new things.
Yeah, well, not to necessarily use that as a segue, but guys, I'm sorry. I had no real clue. When I solicited opinions last week on the PC version of Borderlands, I had no real idea at the time, and I guess it was only a couple days old at the time, that it was a piece of shit, at least. Arguably a piece of shit to some people.
Say a shoveled port.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I had no idea. I certainly would have bemoaned all the choices made there, particularly in light of Randy's, you know.
Yeah, he said the PC version would be the definitive version.
His pitch was that the PC version was clearly the definitive version. Well, you know, I want to sit on the couch and whatever, play and whatever sort of nonsense I'm talking. But the PC version, wow, boy howdy, is that a slick as snot piece of work right there, let me tell you. Or whatever the fuck he said, you know? And I was like, oh,
tell
clear.
You what.
Yeah. And I mean, if it hadn't
have been... He's in Texas.
If it hadn't have been for just the circumstances of the release schedule, I may well have gone that direction. But, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've got a deep dive into the fucking, like, INI file to change, like, simple shit that should be a checkbox in the menu?
Yeah, barely.
I mean, I'm a PC gamer. I have no problem diving into an INI file. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't have a fundamental problem with that. But that's like advanced shit that I really don't think you should necessarily have to do anyway. But to do just the most basic shit in the world,
mm-hmm.
like... And the fact that the entire UI is apparently a very bad cut and paste from the console UI. Like, that's not... That ain't right, man. Like, that's
They did the
not,
opposite of Dragon Age.
Yeah.
They developed the console version, slapped the same shit on the PC version.
And it's like, this is a very... That's why I brought the thing up with Dragon... It's not necessary. We're not talking about sweeping changes to the front end of a game. We're certainly not talking about branching the functionality based on platform. We're talking about a UI. Like, and you're telling me that you couldn't manifest some PC-friendly UI that would allow for mouse scrolling through your quest list? That would at least let you use the fucking arrow keys as opposed to page up and page down?
Mm-hmm.
I can click into a menu, but I have to escape out of it? Like, I know these are small issues, but this stands in opposition to how you navigate something on the PC. And just, by all reports, and again, I haven't done this myself, but I'm really sorry. I thought it was, you know, the land of milk and honey or what have you. You know? I thought, honestly, I thought at worst, you guys are going to have to edit the INI to boost your FOV from...
65.
Like the 65
to
up to whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you'll have to do that. That's always been sort of like a sigh and an eye roll mm-hmm. that I've had to do. I can't call to memory any game that's allowed me to do it as a function of the UI. I believe there have been a couple, but I can't remember.
There have been a couple, but I can't remember which ones they were.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's...
It's been a minute ago, though.
Yeah, and that's old stuff. Fine, yeah. I gotta dive into the INI to change my FOV. What the fuck ever. I don't give a shit. You know? I may as well, like... I think at some point I, you know, macroed a way to find... Like, it's fine. You do it in everything. It's cool. But to even just access basic, like...
Like VSync is apparently something you have to go into the...
Come on! Are you trying to be a dick? Is that what's going on here? Like, because it's what it seems like. And I it's a four-player game. I've got no fundamental quibble with peer-to-peer. Like, it's four people. Like,
yeah,
it's
four-player
okay.
co-op, peer-to-peer's fine.
Yeah, but I have to wade through GameSpy to do it?
I read about
especially
that, I
on the Steam
wow.
version, you know?
Yeah, I'm like...
Steam already has a brilliant...
What the fuck
you know,
is going matchmaking on?
...matchmaking system. Why the fuck funnel everybody through GameSpy?
I have no idea, but, like, bad show. Just bad show, my friend.
Sounds like people just got lazy or we're in a rush or something.
Yep.
Well, that's... Yeah, I mean, yeah. This was my whole point. It doesn't take a lot mm-hmm. to make something that's been... When the base game has been more or less homogenized across all platforms, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily take a lot to make it friendly to the PC environment as well as the console environment.
Instead of actively hostile to the PC environment.
Like, and, you know, short of like, I don't know, like, punji sticks or a rod of hot glass up your penis, I can't think of like... any way to be more antagonistic towards the PC gamer than to simply ignore basic quality of life issues, you know? Like, I know that seems like an omission, but it's such an unbelievably simple thing that, like, you know, I don't know. Like, whatever. It may as well be dead glass. Whatever, I don't know. It's just some story I heard.
Well, Gearbox, I think, has a thing with GameSpy, right? Some kind of deal.
Because clearly they do.
Do you remember when we played Halo, which was a Gearbox game, we had to use GameSpy?
Oh. I don't really remember playing Halo multiplayer, and that may have been why.
Been a while ago.
I know, it's been a while, but...
Halo
I was too
a lot
busy
of the
trying
same...
to figure out why my frame rate fucking sucked.
Yeah, Halo had a lot of the same quality of life issues, too.
It did. It did. Guys, come on, man. I was like, I'll jump into your fucking defense like a few weeks ago. Now I regret my position. Whatever. It's very sad. I'm sorry. I'm hoping that shit is at least tunable. And not to mention the fact that I only remember this because it goes in my, you know, little box of reasons why I'm not buying an NVIDIA or an ATI card again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's apparently, like, a statistically significant number of, you know, users of modern ATI cards.
They can't get past the first mission.
Yeah, it's all epic fail for them in one regard or another. So it's like, ah, God, real tragedy. I'm sorry. Like, it sucks. It totally sucks, so I hate that. You know what? You guys are all going to be playing Left 4 Dead 2 in 2 weeks, so enjoy. That shit looks like it's actually been put together fairly well. So, I haven't done the demo yet. That just went public for everybody.
Yeah.
For non-pre-orders on all platforms, and I haven't gotten it yet. I know somebody mentioned that in a tweet to us, and we couldn't obviously get that shit together before the show, but I would like to think that we would do it at some level over the weekend.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah.
So that'll be really good. But yeah, God damn it, man. That's just an awful, awful tale. And since we're on the subject, like, this will come back when we get to emails later on. We got a couple of, like, you know,
you go into Infinity Ward territory now?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we want to take a break before we get into that?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Not feeling like a big enough nerd? Is your comic book knowledge below par?
Well, this doctor prescribes 1 to 2 hours of comic discussion weekly from Johnny Gigawatt and the Tiger Men from Mars.
Get your Tuesday dose from Sam Bambino and the Funk Doctor.
It's like an action movie bonanza for comic nerds. Coming to you nearly live from JohnnyGigawatt.com and the mighty planet Red Mars.
And all right, so we got to dig this shit about Infinity War so I can get it out of my system. Scott can stop being freaked out, and I'm going to take 900 hours to talk about it.
Dude, I'm never worried about how much time it take. We should say here that we're sort of covering the emails. We had two emails this week, all related on this topic.
Right, so, and they were like,
and also, like, I think we were pretty ready to be done talking about Infinity War.
Where we want to start, we will all talk about it and be sort of eternally upset about it and mark the progress of their, you know, how deeply their head has penetrated their asses on a daily basis.
When you thought it couldn't be penetrated even further, but...
Yeah. And really, like, a larger and larger share of the internet seems to be becoming aware of, like, the asshattery. And that's good, and it's kind of vindicating to some degree that it's like, yeah, we didn't all just sort of fly off the handle at one little barb, one little, a little tiny bit of mistreatment, like that it's become epidemic or it's just what they're going to do, you know, and it's just continues to go. And we didn't really want to be in a place to keep pushing it. We certainly still feel it. We just didn't want it to be a centerpiece forever. I mean, we don't want, you know, we didn't want to soapbox the idea too much. We felt like we said everything we needed to say. However,
but then, you know, five or six, you know, stupid things happen.
Yes, and all of which are worth bringing up.
Can't avoid talking about it. So.
And there are people who have had some things to say to us, not solely on that point, but for the most part. And we had like two spectacular emails, listener emails. Craig Irvin, believe me, I read absolutely every line, every character on my iPhone, so you are most welcome. Thank you very much for writing it about it. He had multiple topics.
Yeah.
But the most prominent, of course, was like where we were on the whole Modern Warfare thing. And then Dinosaurus also wanted to know if Modern Warfare 2 rants were still okay. And bet your ass. Like, are they
the last episode?
Are they still being dickheads? Yes. Then absolutely.
The more we find out, the more rants about them are still okay.
And you know, starting with just to mention Dinosaurus's thing, he also had a big And I want to tell you, like, this is something that I think we're kind of trying to take more to heart now and really feel the void where games journalism should be. But he specifically brings up that point that there have been a couple of opportunities for us to talk directly, us being gamers, to talk directly to Infinity Ward. And those have not been well managed or well handled. And there's sort of a lot of, like, not really understanding why they would choose to respond the way they have. But in a lot of ways, what should be games journalism is incapable or unwilling to deal with this thing. They seem grossly ill-informed or stubborn and unwilling to report on anything. And there's very little of it going. There are places that do this, and we've mentioned several times before the places that we have respect for, to whatever degree. But, like, so much happens in this industry. So much of... We're all connected at some level through the internet. It's mm-hmm. a natural part of what we're doing here. So news, like, flies around like crazy. It seems like moderate, investigative, even-handed, journalistic voices have a real place in this. But they don't exist. Practically speaking, they don't exist. Like, 9 out of every 10... of the outlets are just, you know, and there's nothing wrong with blogging. There's nothing wrong with it, but they seem to be masquerading as journalists, or they're certainly, like, you know, prancing around as them, occupying the space that a journalist otherwise would occupy, and we're real, no real understanding is taking place. So there are things we would like to do just in our own very tiny way to kind of approach that void and maybe do our own little bit of it. I mean, you know, which is hard from somebody who says fuck like 900 times an episode, you know, and for something that's so clearly opinion driven is what we do. But God damn it, people just don't ask questions anymore. What the hell is wrong with these people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can get a fucking developer on the phone, ask him a fucking question, even if the answer's no comment.
Yeah.
That's journalism, you know? Ask the right question, the informed question. Not the question that was given to you by the guy who buys ad space in your bullshit magazine. Ask a question. And it's not happening. So, I don't know, man. Like, I'm all kind of twisted up about the same sort of issue. And I don't know what to tell you. I'd like to put together some thoughts, and maybe in the near future we'll have some. But, I mean, since we last covered the issue, really, and kind of tried to back away from it...
The story so far.
Yeah, they've just continued to do stupid shit. And it's even kind of become impossible to figure out where all the stupid shit is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of them, speaking of very decent journalism, you know, it's very fun for me to read Ars Technica because... I can sense the opinion. I can read between the lines. And sort of, you know, I can see the anger and the how angry some of those guys are, but they're very moderate. They're trying to maintain the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And they linked over to a Best Buy hosted internet chat session with a couple of the guys from Infinity Ward, which is, I believe, where a lot of the current breakdown kind of comes from. A lot
right.
of basically our final confirmations on what the reality of the PC game is going to be. And they were handed a number of questions, and there were essentially no answers that even made sense. they confirmed that 9 versus 9 is the maximum possible player count for the PC
which
version.
Is down from like 64.
Yeah,
in Modern Warfare,
and again, this is something that we had inferred. We all knew damn well that you can't reach those kinds of player counts without dedicated servers. Without dedicated servers, your maximum player count is going to drop significantly. It was only a question of what's the number going to be. So that's not a gut punch. That's just all right. That was, if I remember correctly, the biggest playlist on the 360 was 9 versus 9.
Yeah.
some of the large team stuff, and it was a specific playlist. That was big. One of the other questions was specifically asking if there was a console in the PC version of the game. And
there's
what,
not, right?
What that means, like, because it sounds stupid though, but what that means is there a drop-down command line console in the PC version that allows you to edit features and functions of the game? Basically, we know that this thing is going to be using the default 65-degree FOV. Can we tweak weapon damage? Can we tweak perks? Can we remove graphical debris, breathing, sway? Basically, how much of this stuff? You've said custom shit. This is custom shit. How much of this can we control? And it's like the fucking Answertron was plugged in on the other side. Their answer is literally, we would like you to play the game the way we designed and balanced it. And, like, don't get me wrong. I understand what balance means. I've played enough fucking MMOs to know what balance is. Like, you don't need to... I've played a lot of shit online. I know what balance means. And you need to get the fuck off that idea. This is not Cirque du fucking Soleil, motherfucker. Your whole thing does not live and die by precarious and preternatural balance arrangements. It's a fucking FPS. Like, it's not complicated. I understand what balance is, but fuck off, basically. Like that, and I don't mean to say that balance is bad. I mean to say that, like, that's where they keep running. That's their fucking mouse hole. Every time somebody calls them on their shit and basically cries out for some sort of rationale, for some kind of explanation, you know, a quantitative breakdown of why did you do what you did, they just run to balance because it's some kind of... It's like fucking Kirk running into the goddamn nebula, you know?
Yeah.
Like in Wrath of Khan. It's like, neener, neener, you can't get me. Your tactical display doesn't work, motherfucker. You know, buy it on 360 or what the fuck ever. Mm-hmm. Screw you. All I'm saying is, whatever. It pissed me off. Like, I don't mind balance. I just hate the fact that they run there. It like it sort of dispels the need for any further discussion. Blah, 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 balance. Yakety yak balance. Fuck you. Yakety yak knife in the ribs. How about that shit? I'm not personally that engaged in it, but I can sense the anger coming out in these people. So I'm kind of channeling here a little bit. I had long since been like, man, fuck these guys.
Right. Right.
You know. And again, it's like one of the other questions was, since we cannot kick people in ranked matches.
Oh, this is great.
How do we stop hackers who have bypassed VAC? I just want to set the scene for you here. VAC and Punkbuster, all of these things, they are not immutable. They are not. They are good.
They're like a good spam filter.
Yes.
They'll get, you know,
90% of the shit.
Yeah.
But if you click on an executable in your mailbox, there's nothing the spam filter can do about it. Human oversight has always been necessary, and we have known this. And again, moving on from the simple lack of a dedicated server, it's a legitimate question. You're relying entirely on VAC. But since the entire thing is decentralized, how do we deal with this? The answer... Our goal is to ban hackers from the game. Thank you, Answertron. Next. Yeah. There will always be a 5-second delay during host migration when someone rage quits.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The throbbing, oscillating neutron star of a cherry on top of this whole shit sundae. Ignoring IWNet, is the PC version a direct port of the console version? No. The PC has custom features like mouse control, text chat, and graphical settings.
Mouse look is an extra feature on the PC.
Yes, it is.
Don't you feel loved and cared for and special?
Well, one of my favorite games of all time, one of the greatest first-person shooters ever made, had mouse look as an added feature. I mean, Dark Forces. That was some great shit. So naturally, you know, I can see the connection.
Answertron has satisfied your query.
Thank you for calling the Answertron 2000. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
So. Sure sucks to be you, ha ha ha.
So, okay, yeah, they're talking to GLaDOS. So. Yeah.
Anyway, like, and it's just, and this is to say nothing of what is honestly a more, yeah, so I mean, I don't know, guys. They've taken lean out of the game. Like, and this wasn't in the console, but you can lean left and right. This has been a thing in first-person shooters on the PC for a long time. You know how, like, real dudes with guns lean around a corner? What a great idea. We'll put it into a video game. Apparently, you know, that destroys balance in the PC version. You know. Well, the game is balanced around a $60
price tag. Well, how are you
tag.
Supposed to balance when you're leaning?
Yeah, I don't, well, clearly. Yeah. Yeah. The console version is balanced around, you know. We'll see, that's why the PC version had to cost $60. Mm-hmm. So it could be balanced with the console version. It's like the game's balanced around a $60 price tag. Duh. You know, like
balance my fist around your face.
I haven't heard you say that.
I just, these guys are colossal morons. Like,
these cannot be the guys that. This can't be the same group of people that made up Infinity Ward circa 2003 to 2005.
Ben Kuchera makes a good point. He simply states, and I have to agree with him, there cannot be any PC gamers at Infinity Ward because I can't imagine anybody getting in front of and defending these decisions, like, as intelligent decisions. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with them per se. This is kind of the de facto arrangement for the console games. For reasons we've long since understood, there are constraints there, and there are benefits to this. But the benefits exist at a point before you ever throw down the money. It's a situation you understand that you're walking into. I necessarily want to take the left-hand path to the console games. Pick up and play, automatic, quick, no-brainer, I'm on my fifth drink.
Sit on my couch.
And smoke the
bowl. Controller in my hand. Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, that's where I want to go, man, when I'm... high as a fucking... I'm just saying. I've been there. And I know that this is clearly the kind of thing you want to do. Right? And then there is the more... This is not elitist, but there's clearly the more cerebral approach. The activist, seeking, grasping approach for somewhere to play. I mean, just a quick thing, man. I haven't jumped into Day of Defeat in a long time. You know, I've just kind of been out of it and been doing other things. The other day, I'm like, what the fuck ever? You know, just... No, out of nowhere. Like, whatever. Dana was fixing some dinner, and it was like, all right, I got like 15 minutes to kill. That's like, whatever. I haven't been in there in months, okay? I jump in, I look at my favorites list, you know? I've got like, and this is nothing, and this is an old fucking game, and this is not a game that ranks anywhere on any popularity scale of first-person shooters, but solid shit. I've talked about it before. I won't belabor the point. I got maybe 10, 12, something like that. Games, servers on my favorites list, right? Didn't really ever take me that long to put together. And they are all the kind of server that are supposed to be the hardest to find. Like, no 24/7s.
Mm-hmm.
No stock game. Yeah, basically stock stuff.
No weird mods.
So in a game that has this little overall share of the whole thing, to have like a constant sub 100 ping servers... Mm-hmm. That satisfy what is a very unpopular need for someone like me, that's saying something. I just hopped into one of them, you know. I was like, yeah, it's good. I'm in here, I'm running. There's these guys. I kind of remember these guys. I don't recognize the names, but this is clan of dudes, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm doing my whatever, and they're yakking and doing their thing, and it's fine, and I'm killing, and yeah, I still got the reflexes. I'm doing all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Took me around, but I'm doing okay. I'm doing some good stuff, and some dude comes on and starts, like, you know, farting into the mic or something. Like, doing just something ridiculous. You know, being a cocksucker. Basically trying to remind me of what it's like to play on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, somebody was like, oh, your fucking mic is being stupid. And somebody was like, no, it's not. He's being a dick. And he was like, rah, 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 or whatever. And he was just, like, being a fucking cocksucker. Shit lasted for 30 seconds, and he was gone. You know, they just kind of bumped him out. And, like...
It's not something Vax going to take care of, is it?
No. And it was like... And this place isn't necessarily always crawling. It's a public server. It's not crawling with their people. They don't know me from anybody, and it's, you know, at least 50% public all the time, you know? And they don't always have a mod in there. And I've been on this server several times when people have been like, hold on, I'll be right back, you know? And they message over to a mod that's on another place, and somebody comes in and gets, like, banhammered. And I'm like, this is important. The experience was maintained in a way that cannot happen elsewhere. If a mod had not come along on a dedicated server, I can promise you that that server would have cleared out. That a dickhead would come in there and, like, spread his shit all over the place, and people would leave. And that would be bad. But the fact that that can happen there, in a quite honestly unlikely place, in an overall unpopular game, playing an unpopular game type, stock is day one, essentially, like, shit still gets dealt with. So the idea, and I just want to reiterate a weeks-old point now, the idea that the so much FUD I can't even... describe it. The idea that the PC is somehow rampant with cheating cocksuckers is misleading in the extreme, because it takes nothing to find a place where that's dealt with. It takes nothing to find a safe harbor from it. And really, it's all kind of blown out of proportion anyway, but I don't know. And like I said before, this is nothing in comparison to the real complicated shit they've done. Which is their bullshit, absolutely, like, you guys are so rudderless right now in the media. What the fuck? Like, I'm assuming everybody saw the ad.
Yeah.
Before it was pulled.
Yeah.
Did you see the ad? It was tasteless. It was not horrible, but it was an ad basically done a little bit in sort of, you know, self-deprecating, a little... It was in jest, but it was laser-fucking-focused on a certain type of player that they clearly...
The guy that got banned from the game you were playing,
yes,
on Day of Defeat.
That's the fucking dude, man. That is the guy they were talking to in this ad. And they could not have said more clearly that this is the only guy we care about. And that's not wrong, okay? That is not wrong. We know who plays that game. We all do. And I can't even say that what they've done is wrong. They basically, it was a 1-2 punch of controversy in the last week. Part of it was the leaked footage of basically the terrorism gameplay, which I did not catch before it was pulled, and I have not seen. Did you?
Yeah, I saw it.
My inclination is that... That's okay.
I wish I hadn't seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think it would have had a bigger impact on me when I got to that part in the game.
Yeah, sure.
It was spoiler territory. The big controversy of it was because of what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there were spoilers that you may not want to watch this as a spoiler for the game. I didn't really think anything of it. But after I watched it, I thought, God damn, that's a fucking... That's a decision that took some balls, and really puts you into some. It was very, watching it that first time. It felt a little weird watching that, because it was just, you know, you gunned them down.
It was civilian slaughter.
I
would certainly never choose now to be squeamish about that, and I've long since made my views clear on that. Like, that's not, like, a great thing, but, you know, and clearly we're at that place of, like, it's one thing to watch it in a movie, it's another thing to kind of be in that position in a game, but that's all about me. That's not about anybody else. That's about me. That's between me and the game. Not me and anybody else. Not Infinity Ward. And someone with a chip on their shoulder, or, you know, anything like, no, that's, I will not and cannot necessarily fault them for that, unless it's just gross, you know. And even then, it's like, well, whatever. This is your product, and this is kind of your sort of, you know, this is your scene. You build it how you want to build it, man, and you just put it out there and go with it, and it's cool. Like, we can't give any shit about that. And they haven't really, unless I've missed something, they haven't had a terrible lot to say about it. You know, it was just like, whatever, it's pulled. You know, like, because it's a part of the game and we didn't want a scene. And that's all there is to it. I will say that it ties in a little bit to, like, these guys seem to be a little bit too much in love with their own single-player cinematic experience. Like, the number of things I'm told are impossible because it
going
violates,
all the way back to the co-op yeah, thing, yeah.
It violates, you know, it would be, it's like unto original sin or something to violate the perfection that is Modern Warfare 2's single-player scenario. It's like, man, look, I know who you are. You're not that good. Your multiplayer is tight as a fucking drum. I know that. It's really the one reason that I'm still going to play your game. Not that I won't make a face while I do it, but I am, because you guys build some tight shit, and I cannot ignore that. I won't lie about it either. But, you know, I played your first game, and I'm sorry, dude. Like, nobody gets to tout the magnificence, the regality, you know, the undefinable orgasmic experience of their fucking single-player campaign when they use infinite enemy spawns and, like, checkpoint gating and the bullshit AI from their first game. I'm sorry. You have nothing to stand on. You have no. Just no. Shut your hole. No. So that gets on my ass a little bit. And some people thought it was great. I didn't think it was all that good. And I could poke holes in the single-player shit all day. And didn't like it, and they need to stop pretending like they've done something magnificent. And maybe they have, but there's no reason to believe it, in my opinion. So that was whatever. But the ad that involved, like, you know, the social pejoratives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, what the fuck? What were you thinking? Were you thinking, like, I mean, obviously they threw Robert Bowling out in front of it again, and he pulled the ad, you know, and he did some, a little bit of damage control, but he did it in such a way that was like, well, I don't see what the big deal is, like, blah, 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 social commentary. Like, no.
Any social commentary.
No, nothing you did there was social commentary. It was lowbrow humor, and it was obviously a miss. You miscalculated, and you know, it's embarrassing to you, I can tell, because of the lies you're telling me while you retract it. But, like, what's your fucking deal, man? Just be like, yeah, it was in bad taste. But no, you can't do that. You can't even be bothered to tuck your tail between your legs when you run away. Like, you have to prance while you do it. That's bullshit. No, there's no social commentary here. You don't get to do that either. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a dog pile at this point. If you have something against them, then you're all over them. And some people don't, and it's cool. But these guys clearly have decided to be something different to other people. And okay. I would like to say, and I don't think anybody within the sound of my voice necessarily feels this way, but I'm talking to the various nebulous unknown forum dwellers out there who will never listen to the show. Like, yeah, really, man? You think that they're trying to find a way to never put a... to not do PC games anymore? Yeah. I got that about 10 seconds after I read the story about dedicated servers. That's no longer the issue here. Like, and frankly, like we've said before, get the fuck out. Like, GTFO off my PC, man. Like, that's cool. I think everybody's pretty cool with that. I don't even think that they're being surreptitious about the fact that they're withdrawing from the PC. Furthermore,
they've already withdrawn as much, you know, PC support as you can without just not putting out a game.
Yeah.
So,
and you know. It, yeah, and it's, This does seem to be a strange issue sometimes, and maybe somebody does feel this way, but something that I cannot agree with is that I have two options, and people keep saying this.
Yeah.
That my two options are either to buy it or to not buy it and shut up. It's ludicrous. Not buy it and then scream bloody hell about why I didn't.
Because that's the only way they know why you didn't buy it. If you're unhappy about something and you want it to change, yeah. I should just... What, you should shut up and not say anything?
That's the worst thing you can possibly do. And this will lead me to a place that I had told myself I wasn't going to bring up. But
that'd be a great way to get civil rights, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Don't complain about not having them.
Yeah.
Just sit down and shut up.
Yeah, wait for somebody to realize what's my due.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I shouldn't say anything about it because my only option is to, you know.
I know that's an extreme example when you're talking about a video game, but.
Analogy is always suspect, but
yeah.
There's something to be learned there.
But if you have a grievance, you know.
Yeah. You need to be able to be active about it. And this leads me to a place where, like, we honestly had to think, like, well, vote with your wallet. Yes, that's something we've said several times. But unfortunately, that doesn't even work. The only wallet vote that counts is an affirmative vote. That's it. There is no way to tally people who don't buy shit other than subtracting the purchasers from the sum total population. That's stupid. There is no way to tally the people who said, I actively hate what you're doing and would gladly, you know, give my money to anybody else other than you. There's no way to do that. There are, and that sucks. Like, that really does suck. I said before, like, I'd buy their game if the money would go to someone else. If I could buy the game and then, like, have the money sent to DICE, for example. Kind of like, oh boy, I don't know if you saw that from the DICE, was that at a Twitter feed or something?
The letter that they got?
Yeah.
Somebody sent him a $60 check.
Somebody sent him a $60 check, the money he was going to spend on Modern Warfare. And he asked, you know, in kind of a pleading manner that the money be spent on dedicated server support for the PC port of Battlefield Bad Company 2. It was enough for them to post it, and it was interesting. But, like, this is indicative of sentiment, man. It's a real thing. And I don't know that this is a worry, and I'm not gonna necessarily say how I feel about any of it. We know, down deep where it counts, we know in our guts that they are going to blame, like they always have done, piracy for the bad sales on the PC. Piracy is a terrible thing on the PC and elsewhere. I like money going to the people who made a thing. I don't believe that piracy is the kind of problem we're led to believe it is. The things people do in the name of piracy are very much the things people do in the name of security and in the name of fear. And I think that a lot of it is overblown. We talked about the teachable moment the 2D boy gave us last week. Like, those guys have been pirated from here to the fucking moon. But they've proven that that isn't really any kind of stumbling block on the way to financial success. So, to simply say, like, piracy, blah, all you PC guys are fucked because of piracy, you did it to yourselves. Like, I can't even engage in discussion like that. What I can tell you is, you've taken everything that made this game palatable to people who play in a certain way, and have forever. You have already blamed them. Yes, I have no proof. No one has any proof, but I can read your posture. You have essentially blamed them ahead of the facts for pirating the game. I tell you, they are going to pirate the fucking shit out of your game. And there is every reason to believe that they're going to pirate it and make it work right. I don't know this for a fact, and I'm not sure that there was enough adhesion in all the different angry groups of PC gamers, and I'm not sure anybody even fucking cares enough anymore. But there are contingents already who are not sort of casually looking to get something for free. And maybe they would do it anyway, but they're doing this in hopes that it will hurt, or in hopes that it will be read as spite. They're doing it because it's the closest thing to spitting in their faces they can come up with. I don't know where to go on that, you know?
Yeah.
I've made myself pretty clear about piracy. I've also made myself pretty clear about having your say in things, so I'll just say that I'm very interested to see what happens. But, yeah. It's, yeah, sure. Fine. Stop supporting it because of piracy. Be interested to see what happens now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, guys. I don't know. Dinosaurs, Craig, I know. You guys had other things to say, too, and I'm very glad that you had things to say on this topic. And some of your stuff is getting put in the breast pocket for another day when we're not so busy being angry about this particular thing. because it's working another. Oh, and it was the
party chat.
God damn it! Just when I was done, my whirlwind had essentially come to a halt. Yeah, there's no party chat either, yeah. And there's an air of legitimacy to that. And if that story alone had broken, it would be like yeah. You don't want party chat in this thing because the competitive nature of the blah, blah, blah. The whole thing's balanced around there being no party chat. But like...
beep, boop, beep, boop. It will unbalance the game.
Again, though, it's like you either a disregard or a lack of awareness for what people like about this system. They like party chat. It's pretty great,
mm-hmm.
You know, for a lot of different reasons when it works.
And not the least of which is listening to my friends like... sing Rock Band songs while I'm playing Explosion Man or something.
Like that,
especially when I can't hear the music. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and that's a wee little sliver of a community, but like, you know, let's be clear. The PC users aren't the only community getting fucked. Like, if being in party chat with people who aren't necessarily playing what you're playing, and that's your way of connecting to your friends, like, you know, it'd be done with Modern Warfare 2. And I'm not saying they don't even have good reasons for it, but man, your shit does stink. That's all I'm saying. You may think it doesn't, but it kind of does. You're not as good as you think you are. Your property is not as good as you think it is. You are a hair's breadth away from irrelevance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you are, and I'm not saying, you know, I mean, holy shit, like, the pre-order numbers on this fucking game are outrageous. But they have shown an inability to kind of adapt to certain fundamental gameplay changes,
mm-hmm.
And all that's really necessary is for somebody to kind of come along and outdo them. And their stodginess will do them harm.
They're not the only ones capable of making a good Call of Duty.
Yeah, and like...
As they learned about a year ago.
They've kind of, you know, fine, there's plenty of community reason to not have liked Treyarch in the past. And we all know that World at War wasn't Modern Warfare 2. But let's be clear, those motherfuckers made a good game.
Mm-hmm.
A very good game. And they made modifications to the base gameplay laid down by Infinity Ward. Then Infinity Ward claims, you know... just as unbalanced.
Break the balance.
Their shit sold like a motherfucker. Like crack pancakes, their shit sold so well. World at War sold a fuckload of copies to people that had no interest in the Infinity Ward is good and Treyarch is bad.
Yeah.
The lame versus cool thing. They simply knew a game and they bought a game and they fucking loved it. You know, Nazi Zombies can stand on its own. I don't give a fuck.
Fuck yeah.
What, 3 map packs in a year of life? 1 map pack out of Infinity Ward over the 2-year lifespan of Modern Warfare?
I mean, one.
And that'll lead you in a different direction toward paid DLC, and that's another thing, but they supported the shit out of their game. They had co-op campaign. They had Nazi fucking zombies, right? Their multiplayer, their adversarial multiplayer, was a little old cockeyed in some respects. It was just buggy and broken and was not quite as tight as what Infinity Ward did. And I imagine their resources and probably their skill is a little bit better in that regard. But, you know, for someone who is supposedly just following in their footsteps, they did good shit. There's no cause now to belittle them or to offer backhanded insults to what they've done. And you're right, they are not the only people who can make a game. Like, and they even did it in World War II. And we were all, like, proclaimed tired as shit of World War II years ago. And the fact that they could throw
they
another one at
us. They still pull us back into one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying, like, these guys obviously haven't been told what absolutely positively can't be done.
And you know why? You know how they pulled us back into one? I really would have probably never played World at War had it not been for the fact that we could do it together.
Yeah, that was a big deal for you. I played in the little multiplayer preview, which was good and solid, and I was like, wow, these guys have really, like, kind of borrowed from a good system but built a little bit on top of it, and that's kind of tight, you know? And then as time went on, obviously, like, fucking Nazi zombies, what the hell?
Well, yeah.
Just saying. You know, like, it wasn't superior in every respect, but just in terms of how it was dealt with and supported, whatever, man. I would even wager that Infinity Ward probably reaps some benefits that were sown by Treyarch.
Yeah, and even to go back to, you know, the fact that they were player friendly, they've had we use the example of getting three map packs from them compared to the one that we got from Infinity Ward. They've done numerous double XP weekends.
Yeah.
I don't even remember one that we had. We may have had maybe one.
I honestly wouldn't know well enough.
But I just think that it's gotten so much more support from them.
Yeah.
And it has, but in also many different ways. So.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing. But still, you know, we're okay being done with it, but if they keep doing stuff like this...
If they're not done with it, then we may
get to a place where we're not pissed off about it, but if you guys are, if you're still pissed off about it, you let us know.
Well, not even a week. They've just got, you know, a few more days left.
Yeah. Direct2Drive refuses to sell it.
Yes, it does.
They pulled support for selling the game.
Because it has Steamworks in it.
Because it has... You know, and they were a little snarky about it. They said, we don't believe games should force the user to install a Trojan horse.
Oh, snap!
Yeah, that's possibly a little more snark than was justified, but at this point, who fucking cares? You know? Well, I mean,
I only really
feel
bad for Valve and Steam, you know,
on
that remark.
And it's like, there's a lot...
And I'm not a big fan of Steam, you know me, but still... Trojan horse is going a bit far.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. That kind of suits their particular style of thing.
And well, they want to be the ones to sell games to people. They don't want to sell somebody some shit with a whole store in it for them to buy games through instead of them.
Well, Direct2Drive.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a thing, and it's like, that's okay, but it's just worth noting. It's another, like, tiny little thing.
Yeah.
So, but please, by all means, and a lot of times, like, this is a great example, even though the entire content of an email might not make it onto the air, please never hesitate to send us, like, something long and thoughtful like that.
We'll address your emails.
We
may
really
not read them
appreciate
verbatim
it.
On the air,
but
they
are,
we will definitely
they are
them.
Absolutely important to us, so please, by all means, thank you very much for writing in and listening.
You know, speaking of Direct2Drive and Steam, it reminds me that over on Good Old Games... Psychonauts just
went up.
Yeah, for $10.
$10.
DRM free.
That's good. GOG, yeah, that's pretty good. DRM free, and they still do the little, you get the whole soundtrack on MP3 as a separate thing.
Oh, I don't know.
That was one of their deals.
Need to check
that
out, yeah.
It was like you get the soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
So, it's good. It's a good deal.
I like that. I like that, you know, there's a DRM free service you can buy games through where you can keep re-downloading it. It's still tied to your account, but without all the DRM.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff.
I didn't know anybody believed they could do that. So
they do it. They work their magic. They've got enough mind share, you know, by not being evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their catalog isn't.
I went over there and I noticed they also had Advent Rising up as a recent release,
right?
Which
I
never
six bucks.
Yeah, story written by Orson Scott Card. Always meant to check that out.
Yeah, and it had a lot of fail in it.
Yeah,
but. You know,
for
$6,
I can tolerate an awful lot of fail.
Yes.
If there's like a little bit of good, if there's, you know, a kernel of good.
Yeah, which I believe there was.
Yeah.
And a lot of people lament the fact that it never became what it could have become. Well, you know who made that? Shadow Complex guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They did Advent Rising, and then Was it Undertow? Is that the thing they did? The XBLA game? Chair?
Quick to the internet.
Yeah. I can't remember their evolution, but that was a thing of theirs. And I was like, oh, yeah. It didn't work out so well for you, but good on you with this thing you've done here.
Yep.
You're it was exactly Undertow? Right.
Undertow and Shadow Complex. Or Advent Rising.
Advent Rising, yeah.
Yep.
So it was those guys. So, you know, it's a thing. There you go. A little bit of archaeology there for you.
Cool.
And for what it's worth on deals, and this is so petty, but I can't help but be excited about it. I really, really can't. The Steam Weekend deal.
Yeah.
You saw it. Yeah.
Mass Effect, $10.
All right, look, Mass Effect's always...
I was just about to turn my screen over to you on that.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Mass Effect's $10. Like, it's been $20 for, like, you know, whatever. Like, 1,000 years it's been $20. I already bought it. I want to play 2 on the PC. I'm going to play 2 on the PC. I played 1 and bought 1 on the 360. And I've wanted to play through it again on the PC just so I can have a migratable save game. You know, just, or for whatever reason. I don't know. And they made some improvements to it on the PC. But, like, every time I did it, I was like, $20 is not a lot of bucks. But, like, I've already been from one end to the other. I fucking 100%ed that game, damn near. I didn't get all the achievements, I don't think. I think I missed some of the party-based achievements. But I fucking scanned every piece of shit rock and every bullshit glitchy declivity on every horseshit fucking methane-choked backwater asshole planet in that galaxy. I did it. I've been there, man. So, like, $20... to kind of get it again, and I know how my nostalgia factor works on that. It's like I may not even go all the way through. It's just like, meh. Psychological point where I'm just like, I just don't want to toss $20 or something I'm probably not going to get again, you know?
So the direct, put it to $10.
Yeah, the direct-to-drive sale, where there's like half a dozen things that I bought at $5, so it's some total of 30, but I've got this whole basket full of shit that I may or may not play through again. Like, that's awesome. But the 20 for the single thing, I was just always like, I already did this. But then I saw that it was $10, and I was like, sold! Obviously, for that thing, the psychological breaking point was somewhere between, you know, whatever, like $10 and 10.01 or something. I don't know. But I just thought that was good. I was like, finally, I'll go home and fucking download it, and I'll blitz through it, you know, not do any of the interesting shit. You know, be a cocksucker to everybody because I tried to go back through the PC or the console version being an asshole.
Did you play Bringing Down the Sky?
I did.
Okay.
Remember, see, I was very fortunate that Dana actually stole the game from me after it came out because I was midway through my play when Bring Down the Sky came out. So I kind of played it in the course of things and it fit right in there where it was supposed to fit. So I didn't have any of these, nagging weird hang-ups of it came out.
Yeah, you're a cocksucker.
Yeah, it was great too.
Like, I never played it. I was like, whatever, I'm done.
Yeah,
I don't.
I know. It was, and it was good.
I can't go back to mid.
No, you can't.
Game and do that.
What about that other piece of DLC that?
The Fight Club, whatever it is, getting a big ring and fight a bunch of fuck. I don't know.
Oh, is that what that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like a. It was like a arena thing.
I didn't. Obviously, I didn't pay attention to it. So.
I think it was. I don't know. I didn't pay attention either. But anyway, $10 for that. It was a thing for me. So, I will be getting down with
cool.
that. So, the fuck are we? Somebody say something interesting while I look at my
something computer. Interesting.
You're a piece of shit.
You know that. Nice little cover art for the collector's edition of Mass
Effect
2.
That was another thing, and a few people tweeted and pointed us toward that, and it was like, yes, compared to their bullshit, like, craptastic artwork, you know. It's good. It's clean. It's just, it's like some version of the N7, you know. Logo thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it's a close up of a uniform or.
I believe it is a uniform.
It looks good. It's,
I'll tell
it's
you
clean.
Why. Gash going
was there
through
nipple?
It. No, there's
oh,
a nice gash going through it.
Oh, I see.
With some nice red syrupy stuff.
Oh, I didn't even notice that was blood. I thought that maybe it was like something else. Are you sure?
That's what I'm taking
whatever, from. Whatever, it's better.
That's what I'm taking from it.
It doesn't have to be much of anything to be better. But it is good. You know, it's sort of dramatic and minimalist at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty.
You know. Oh! Well, I can't believe I almost forgot about that. I'm assuming everybody's willing to plunk down $5 so that we can play some multiplayer Bad Company 2 beta on the PS3?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Willing to throw away a pre-order?
Yeah, I'll throw away a pre-order.
Hey, what time is it? Oh, it's after 9 o'clock. I was going to have you call GameStop. And be like, you got any of them codes yet? Because I know how they are with their stupid little... This is always weird. You always have to be careful because you never know how they're going to distribute these things.
Mm-hmm.
If this kind of access is limited to people who pre-order from certain retailers, like, they always do it in a different way. Sometimes they want to email you that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, you got to do some shit through the website. Sometimes, like, they give you a little piece of paper with a scratch-off code on it or something. Like,
I like the little piece of paper with a scratch-off code.
Yeah, but there's like a major failure in that.
Yeah.
Which is they just hand them out to people they like to convince them to do stuff they want them to do.
Oh.
And they're always I've been beneficial to that, that way, by the way.
I know that because I've done that. I'm like, I don't like you. You're not getting this. You know, stuff like that. So, and they also come in very limited quantity. Sometimes you might only get a couple. The way that they're distributed is just stupid. So, I don't know. And I seriously can't believe I forgot to do that. I thought it was going to be funny. I was going to have you call up there and be like, whatever, with some codes and stuff. And then I would go by and give them $5 of my dollars.
Yeah. And we should mention this is PS3 exclusive.
Which is a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think we've ever played anything together
not
on
like
PSN.
No, not like this. We all have not.
Which is interesting because, again, to go back to something we mentioned earlier, was like the Left 4 Dead 2 demo is available on PSN.
Yeah.
And we could play some RJ.
I'm not sure he wants to.
Yeah. Okay, fine, never mind.
Well, I mean, it's there, but like this is, you know, Left 4 Dead is a thing amongst a lot of people.
It
but
is,
like, speaking for myself, this is Bad Company.
I understand.
Well, I'm big fan of that shit. So this on the PS3 on the 19th is when it starts. So I don't know if this is, I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's in limited supply. $5 ain't nothing to secure like some multiplayer, some beta access to this. And then in December we should be getting the PC open beta.
Okay.
So, and then with kind of like a relaunched something at the top of the year for all three platforms. So, all
right.
I'm sorry, what were we going to say, though?
When you playing a demo reminded me that maybe this is probably old news to most people, but I never noticed it happen. I was going through my live profile and looking at, you know, old games I'd played and achievements, and there was, like, you know, a bunch of old demos I'd fired up way back in the day on live. It was, you know, zero gamer score because they were demos. And I noticed I could delete them now.
I don't know when that happened, but I want to say that.
But you remember that happening?
Discussion about it. Yeah.
That completely snuck by me. So I was like, it's great.
I don't remember when.
And I went through and deleted a bunch of shit that, you know, I never actually played anything other than
demo for. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I think it was during the NXC.
It may have been, and I remember it was like its own tiny little.
Well, if it happened in the middle of the NXE, I can see why it was so easily overlooked.
Yeah, that's why
it
got kind of buried under a bunch of that other shit. Yeah, there was a lot of tweaks made. I believe the NXE was was one of those that involved that because of not the reason that they implemented it, but when they rolled that out, there were so many things that just changed with that, and I think that was one of those little hidden gems of that rollout.
Cool.
So, yeah, you can do that now.
RJ, you going to play any multiplayer demos with us on the PS3?
Sure.
Yeah?
Then, girl, I'm not dismissing anything. Sure, I'm up for it.
All right. Well, Left 4 Dead 2, we can just all kind of get, right?
Yeah.
It's open.
Yeah, it's open now.
And the other one's available on the 19th, but you got to pre-order.
Mm.
But, you know, whatever. You cancel the pre-order and move your
$5
to
I'll just transfer it to Bayonetta or something.
Do you have a headset, RJ? Do you have a...
Yeah, I got a headset. I got a...
I think I've already asked you that before, but...
Yeah, I got a headset.
Okay, good.
What, when we discussed doing this, I told James I was going to have to go turn my couches over to see if I could find my Bluetooth headset, which I lost, like, months ago.
Hopefully you can.
Yeah.
I was just glad he did, because if he didn't, then it would resort to us going to party chat on 360.
Yeah.
And playing on the
PS3. Which we have done.
So, anyway, anything else before we jump into our tweets?
No, I think that's most of our hot licks.
All right. Over on Twitter, we got Mr. GT Chris. So, how awesome is Torchlight? I gather there's a version coming to Max. Can't wait.
Yeah,
there is.
Nobody knows what the deal is. There was as of this recording, I think we just saw news that the retail version is hitting in January,
yeah.
And there had been some thought of, like, whenever...
Which may be when that hits, too.
Yeah, like, we may be looking at December or January for the Mac port. Which I have already recommended to many of my Mac friends, that, like, whenever it happens, you go ahead and you forget about a $20 bill somewhere and, like, make sure that goes to Torchlight. Money well spent, in my opinion. Very well spent. And it's like, I mean, standalone, it's great, but all you gotta do is go look at the mod forums and just realize that there's going to be an infinite. And they haven't even released the SDK yet, and the mod forums are already, like, pretty well lit up. Somebody's got rudimentary, and I do mean rudimentary, multiplayer working.
Nice.
Chances are it'll never go anywhere.
Right, yeah.
That a lot of games get to this point with multiplayer mods. They very rarely go beyond it because the complexity increases by an order of magnitude for basically every step you take beyond the point where they are now. Just rudimentary player position data.
Mm-hmm.
Over a network, so... the actual playability becomes a much bigger problem. But that's certainly not to count out the idea totally, so... I don't think there's anybody who won't be keeping an eye on it, even the very skeptical. But, great game. Can't recommend that enough, you know. It's good stuff. I mean, the fact that it isn't multiplayer works in my favor right now, because I don't feel like I'm abandoning someone else's progression, you know? Like, you always feel like you're tied to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that Borderlands has been so tough for us, you know? If I've got a few minutes here and there between dinner and watching something with Dana and, you know, cleaning up dog shit or whatever, like, I always feel bad because I know how that interrupts a four-player gaming experience. Single-player stuff, that's whatever, you know? Like, my Vanquisher's going to be there in her no-pants and halter top whenever I show back up, so...
Dark Lord James wanted us to know that, for the record, World of Goo on the Wii at launch was $15.
We were wondering. We couldn't quite remember.
Yeah, it was $15. So, he also had a lot to say here. I'm going to read all of this because it's all tied in together, since you can only go so far with Twitter. He said that Step 2 popped on Major Nelson Radio and said that killing unauthorized 360 memory was to eliminate the easiest source of gamer score hacking. There are 360 memory units that use SD, and people overwhelmingly use them to edit save files on the PC, then bring them back to the 360. Additionally, memory units are very important for multiple 360 houses. MUs are where our gamer tag and saves live here for Sneakernet. So,
that's something that I hadn't considered for multi.
I didn't think about
houses.
That either. Yeah, yeah.
As for like. The editing, the cheating at some level. That was our instinct. Our instinct was that there's something like that, but
we just didn't know about it.
We didn't know about
right.
it, so that's something cool to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and kind of, to some degree, validates the move a little more.
Yeah.
And I believe there was a thing where, who was it that stood to lose which company?
Daytel.
Daytel was making a move to have some of their MUs, or at least... all of or some of their MUs validated through their... They're basically wanting to become authorized.
Oh,
MUs.
Are they?
I want to say I saw a story on that, so I know what the deal is.
I did see that they had said that they had a fix coming that would basically bypass whatever it was Microsoft had done.
That's more fun.
Yeah. Yes.
That's far more fun than becoming authorized.
Nabokov fan says, just realized the whole leaked footage kind of killed off the dedicated server talk. Coincidence?
Maybe. Although...
it didn't matter in the end of things.
It just created its own shitstorm.
Yeah.
It did, but then they pulled that footage and then went ahead and shot themselves in the foot multiple times afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I mean, normally I would think maybe that's possible, but Jesus Christ, these guys haven't spun themselves out of one shitstorm directly into another for 3 weeks running, so...
You know what one of my favorite things about all this is? That I can't remember which one it was, but the one Infinity War guy that came out says, yeah, we believe developers should be more in charge of their own PR for their game. Man, not if you guys are any indication.
Yeah, right? Not if this is how it's going to be
done. Mr. GT Chris, this is for you, RJ. One thing RJIGC, which is your Twitter name, forgot to mention about Tekken 6. How awesome are the CG videos? Like, awesome? Hope so. He hasn't played it yet, I guess, but...
Yeah, they're not bad. They're short little 30-second stories about what the character's involvement in the whole storyline is. You know, some are funny, some are ridiculous, some are pretty serious. They do look nice, though. You know, none of those graphical hitches that that Dark Resurrection had on the PS3.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Iron Past? It says, holy low-res textures, but it's just a sign of long dev time and space limits, and I feel Dragon Age works well on consoles.
That seems to be the thing. I was following a lot of his comments in particular in that regard. And a couple of people, I believe, actually owned a version on each platform.
Yeah.
And in some instances seem to simply prefer it to the PC version. That's okay. Like, again,
it sounds like they
mind.
Crafted a really good game on each platform.
Yeah, I could give a shit. I'm glad it's working for you guys. I don't want to play it there. I like my hot bar and my, you know, properly formatted subtitle windows and all that. I mean, I like what I got. You know, I'm very happy that I bought it where I did. But
well, yay for people.
I'm even more happy that we can both be happy.
Yeah, yay for developers catering to the.
It's like I said, man, it
the wants and
much.
Needs of both platforms and the strengths.
Much.
Yeah.
So,
Luckless Wonder says Left 4 Dead 2 demo mode available to all PC gamers on Steam. Anyone playing?
Not yet. Yeah, this weekend. Yet. We'll get it this weekend.
And not really on Steam, although, you know.
I'll do it there too.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to really ever get down with the first one on the PC.
This is for you, James. Troso would like to know, how long is a long James minute on Torchlight? My estimate is 20 real minutes. Keep up the great show. I told him he was lowballing that.
Yeah, I think you probably are. Well, I think a long minute is like maybe an hour.
Obviously what he's referring to is James usually likes to say that he played it for a minute.
Yeah.
In James time,
the inflection is necessary. You know, play that shit for a minute. That's an hour.
You know. SPB Tool says the best game manuals: StarCraft, Homeworld, and the Neverwinter Nights manual we called the Bible due to always referencing back to it.
Yeah.
And then Senator Spacer came in very late in the game, about 30 minutes ago, and said, maybe it's too late, but take a look at these supposed Halo Reach screenshots.
Yeah, saw that.
Which we covered.
That's old boy's name.
What was it?
Tom Morella.
I was like, Tom Collins, but...
I was going to ask you,
clearly you know what guy I am.
When you mentioned the leaked footage of the campaign in Modern Warfare 2, I was going to ask if Tom Morella had scrawled his name on it.
Yeah. I said, that meme will be dead by the time we post this show. So.
But right now,
yeah,
there's
really
like
funny.
A ton of made-up screenshots going around with Tom Morella scrawled in various ways. Or in some cases,
Rebecca Romijn
Stamos
leaked pictures on the dishwasher.
Araquil, I believe. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. You know how it goes with me. Sent a direct message. You guys going to talk about Infinity Ward capping PC to 9v9 games? A 65-sized field of view or the lack of a lean option? Tough times for PC folk. And as you probably know by now, we
lean times, more like. My pun made me sad.
So yeah, those were all the tweets that we got.
Twits and
twits. Yes, the twits and the tweets.
Nice.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That pun made me sad. Okay, so jumping into voicemail, or should we go to the forums?
Voicemail. All and right. Forget about the forums.
Forget about it.
All right.
I always say that. I'm obviously not disregarding it, since Scott brought it up and I had to make mention of it. I just wanted to point out that, like, generally, like our forum discussions, they're really good things, and they're things that take on a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of found that unnecessary.
It's become less
to
of like
them.
A comment type thing and more of an ongoing discussion
yeah.
of.
So we don't
want to
sort of
about,
displace
so.
Them by yeah. by yanking them back into the show necessarily. We get so many like truly stellar emails and voicemails and tweets and things like that that feed our need for something to refer to on the show. So the forum stuff is we wanted to leave there. Sorry, Scott, we didn't tell you that's what we're doing now.
I know, my brain got
Jeremy
there.
And I decided that at work one day.
All right, time for the voicemails. So right. slide the mic over.
Narrating the fact that we need to slide the mic over?
No.
No.
Ah, shit. Yeah, sure. Why not?
See, I was kind of hoping that, like, while we were talking, you could be going and getting all the setup
done. He was waiting
done.
For us to get done.
Yeah,
get set
so
up.
That he could do the setup.
Blah, blah, blah.
And narrate it.
But it would make noise while moving the mic over your talking.
We'll get you a theme song for voicemails. That way you can, like, theme song your way through the entire setup process.
We could hit pause.
Yeah.
That works.
You know, that's not going to happen.
All right, here we go with the voicemails for you.
Hey, what's going on, folks at In-Game Chat? This is Andrew from the MoveCast. I wanted to comment on the new episode that just went up. First off, really cool to hear all the Tekken 6 talk. I certainly didn't expect it out of you guys. Especially considering how quiet RJ seems to like to be, particularly out of spite, but it was cool. It's nice to see some recognition for that game, because there sure isn't a hell of a lot of talk on the message boards over at COG, but what is there is a passionate community, I guess. So, but anyway, the other thing I wanted to warn you about Bayonetta, importing it. I know it's all region-free and everything, but Kotaku or Joystick or somebody has been trying to get to the bottom of whether or not Sega is going to actually put any effort into improving the PS3 port before it comes to America. Now, I'm not holding my breath or anything, but I would really like to see some improvements made before it comes over here, because I mean, if you compare the two versions, I think the 360 one is definitely better looking, and part of the charm of that game is how gorgeous it is. I mean, I played it at PAX this year on the 360, and I mean, it was amazing. And then I went and downloaded the Japanese PSN demo on the PlayStation 3, and I, you know, right away noticed, like, hey, this isn't as shiny looking as I remember it being. You know, it's not quite all there. I mean, it plays fine and everything, plays good, looks good still, but just not as good. And when I saw it on the 360 at PAX, it blew me away. So I would hang tight and wait for the U.S. version. And if they don't improve the PS3 one, go for it on the 360. So that's just my advice to you, though. But anyway, take it easy, guys. Great show. As always, I love listening, and I will catch you all later. Bye.
All right.
I think that's optimistic.
That it would be improved, yeah.
Yeah, I think they've sort of committed themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've intentionally gone out of the way to brand it, the port, with Sega's name. More so they can point and say, it's not our fault, you know. We absolve ourselves of the responsibility. I don't know that, though. I mean, I don't know for a fact. The only reason I would ever, like, whine at you about wanting you to import it is simply for a now. But now. I don't care about better. I care about now. Now. That's why. So, like, with things like that, if I were more interested in that kind of thing, if it was something that was at all in the vein of things that I really love, I think I would probably go and do it anyway, even if I knew it was the inferior version. Simply because now, you know? Mm. That's... I'll do that, man. I live a lot of my gaming life around now, not later. Later doesn't do me any good. So, that's my only thing. The hope that it will be better, or simply buying the 360 version is... I think that's where almost everybody's going to be. With good reason.
All right, next voicemail. Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Chris or Gordy from the forum. You're going to talk about Demon's Souls, man. Black Phantom. That's interesting. The way they work, you have to understand the way Demon's Souls works. You have two forms that you can be in. You're either in your body, or you're in soul form. You want to be in your body because in your body you have full health. In your soul form, you're stuck at half health, which just sucks. So there are three ways you can get your body back if you're stuck in soul form. You kill a boss, you drop a blue soul stone and help somebody else go into their game and co-op, help them kill a boss, or you invade their game and someone who has their body and kill them, and therefore you get your body back and they are screwed and they're back in soul.
That sounds great.
So the way that invading someone's game drop a dead get transported,
and
you start off at the beginning.
As you can tell, we don't pre-listen to these.
Played through the level already, and you've got to go find them. The problem is, if you're invading, you are already at a disadvantage because your invader is on the side of the demon, apparently, while they're in your game. So they don't get attacked. So they are at an advantage because they can come up to you while you are in the middle of fighting another enemy and kill your ass. So if you're invaded, your best strategy is to run back to the beginning level and find them and go on the offense. You're screwed if you just sit there and ignore it and keep on going. So they can come into your game and kill you, and yeah, that's it. It sucks. I haven't done it. I had it happen to me once, and yeah, you fight some skeletons right at the beginning of a level at a storm area, I think it's 4-1, and yeah, I was dead quick. Unfortunately, because I sucked at that point. But, yeah, that's the way the Black Phantoms work, and it's a very interesting concept. So, and yeah, they cannot talk to you. You can't talk to them. You can't talk at all in the game. It's all about isolation.
Ah.
So, yeah, it's not fun getting invaded, and yeah, you are very much at a disadvantage. Well, I haven't done it yet. Now thinking about it, I'm going to do that tonight. It sounds like fun. But, yeah, that's it. Enjoy the show. Good job, guys, and see
ya. That's great. If you do, let us know. Like, because you'll probably get an opportunity to do that before I do, and you'll know what the fuck is going on.
Hey, Gorby apparently called from his cell phone because there were some drops.
Yeah, there were some drops in there. You're gonna hear Scott laughing.
I kind of want to read a little bit of
no,
it.
Nah, don't.
Don't. It's just because it's too funny. We thought like when it was breaking up, it's like, oh, we'll refer to Google Voice's transcription. And that was a bad idea because it's really funny.
Because, you know, here's a snippet. I really have to read that one.
All right.
So, you are the problem is, if you're in Beijing, you're already at a disadvantage. Because that your invader in on the side of the dean, apparently why where you were, saying so they don't get attacked.
So if they're headed to bed...
So if they can come in here, Gainesville, UN, yeah, that's the box.
Sounds like Mad Libs or something already.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good stuff. That's why Scott's snickering, because he doesn't have, you know...
As for Mary, I think it's 41. Just random shit.
That's good stuff. That's good information, though. It's good information. I really could use you going in there and fucking with somebody. I need to know.
Well, now you can.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, like... The Black Phantom can talk to the guy he's invaded, but not the other way around.
Yeah. That's, booga, booga, booga.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you.
I'm going to get you.
You've got a pretty mouth. Man, just play some banjo music into the mic.
I'm right behind you.
Squeal like a pig. Oh, squeal for me.
Why did we have to go there? I don't even know why I did that.
What happens, I guess. I don't know if you mentioned it in the post, but there was one other way to get your body back was with... something called ephemeral eyes. It's an item you could use, instantly use, and you could be back in your body form. I typically use those just before boss fights to do that, though. Something else, I think you can't get invaded unless you're in body form. So I don't think you can get invaded while you're in soul form. But when you got your human body back, that's when you can get invaded by Black Phantoms.
Yeah, when you got something to lose.
Yeah.
As well it should be. All right.
Yeah, I think we're done.
We are done. We're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for all the responses, everybody. If we don't see you online, we'll see you next week.